Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's Monday night program here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's Monday, February 3rd, 2014. All right, we've got a lot of different things to go through. Let me just take a look to see who's all calling in. I don't see too many hands up, so anybody who wants to talk, has any questions or comments or anything, might want to raise your hand. Sherrod, what is it that they push to raise their hand? Star 6 or something like that. But anyway, while we're waiting for him to come on to tell us, someone might want to put it in the text chat. Okay, we did get a letter. I don't think I mentioned this last week, but we did get a letter from a sheriff here in New York from Franklin County. Well, we were kind of hoping it would be a good letter, but it worked out okay for us anyway because it gave us opportunity. It was kind of a negative letter, but it gave us a chance to show the man connection and also share that with the rest of the sheriffs. So that turned out to be pretty good. That particular letter is available up online. If you go to, I think we put it up on the breaking news. Let me go take a real quick look. Should be up in the breaking news tab up towards the top. And it is posted, let's see. Oh, I didn't get it up there yet. Okay, I will get it up there. I know it did go out over the weekend. We will post it up. The last posting we put was March 1st, 2014. Activity down in Florida. We had Hagen Smith on the radio down there. It was videotaped, and we do have that video up on our breaking news page. Tonight after the program and tomorrow morning, I will post the latest letter to the sheriff. Anyway, it turned out to be good communications that we're able to get out to that sheriff and, of course, to all the sheriffs. We copied everyone, all of the oath takers in New York State. Also, very soon, I'm not sure exactly when, it could be next week, so everybody should keep their eyes open for this or the following week, but it'll come up soon. It's a matter of just trying to go through things and working things out. We did purchase a program to be embedded inside of our website for the purpose of a chat room, but it is really, it's kind of a webinar thing. We can do all kinds of things. We can have live programming right off streaming through the website. We can do PowerPoints, we can show videos. We can show web pages. We can actually turn your web pages and lead you through a series of different web pages, or we could just do it on our own site, you know, on our own page, and you stay on the page. There is a chat area there. So it looks pretty sophisticated. It's about 10 steps above webinar. We did use webinar. Webinar had some downfalls. For the audio, I don't know whether they're going to get audio as far as, well, definitely we can communicate through that program at least one way. I don't know if they have any. I'm still reading through it. We did purchase the software, and we're going to install it shortly. But I'm not sure whether there is a two-way talk there. But if there isn't, we're going to combine this with free, I think it's called free webinar. Hold on a minute. Okay, freeconferencecallhd.com. They've got a pretty good, what would you call it, control board. Also, I believe, well, in any event, we can, it's got very good sound. We can get up to 1,000 people into that room. And the nice thing about it is free of charge. The software for the website, you know, it's a one-time purchase, and we don't have to pay for it anymore. And that's called Webinar Jam. So it looks like a pretty good program. So at some point in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be leaving Blog Talk Radio and moving over to those areas. Blog Talk Radio is a little richy for us, and you know, it's costing us, I forget what it is, a few hundred, $250 or maybe more, I don't remember, per month. And they've got a lot of problems in their board. I've tried to talk with these people, but they don't seem to be interested in fixing them. And also, we pay the big dollars mostly because we are, we have that widget that's on our webpage where you can actually listen on our webpage. And I tried to talk with them about fixing it up for a stream, an automatic stream, whenever we opened, and they didn't seem to be interested in fixing that either. So we may keep Blog Talk if we may move to the more inexpensive level. We might do that, and we might continue to broadcast at the same time through there also. But definitely the ideal thing that we've always wanted to do was be able to do this directly off of our website. And I believe that Webinar Jam at some point will have that opportunity of two-way talking if they don't have it already. And if they do, that's ideal.
I think they do.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's two-way, yep.
Okay, so if that's it, then that's ideal. We're right off our website, and that's it. Now, again, I'm going to look at the pricing for Blog Talk Radio, and we may try to stay on there. If we can get, programming without having to pay as much money as we do. And I think we might be able to get a reasonable deal there, and if so, then we'll stay on that too. But the key thing is really working off of our site. And so that's what we're going to do. What is it for people to raise their hand or bring down their hand? Gerard, what is it, star six or
one,
something? Do you know?
One, I believe. One. I believe you dial one, and it puts it up, and you dial one again, it puts it down.
Okay,
everybody's
so got
to remember when they tap it. Right. So they got to remember to put their hand down after you call on them so we know they were called on.
Okay.
We just have to remind them again.
All
right, like right now, we got three hands up. So once we talk to them, when you hang up, just say, please hit #1 so your hand goes back down. And before you get started, when you're ready, I got a kind of an announcement to make, some new news that came through. I don't even know if you know it. But I think
you
want to
talk about it now? You want to go do it? Want to talk about it now?
Yeah, it'll only take a minute. Actually, it's a text message that Lydia sent me, and she says that as per the New York Times last week, Chief Judge in New York is making a pilot project in Brooklyn and Bronx, letting non-attorneys, quote-unquote, provide assistance to the unrepresentatives. He's going to let private attorney generals in. And I think the reasons that they're doing that is because they know they have problems and they know we're coming, and so they're going to try to co-opt us. They know we're coming, so if they put something in place that looks like us, they think they're going to be able to control the movement. They'll say, oh, no, we have that. But, you know, we want common law. That's the difference between us. If they put in private attorney generals and other people that can help people, I mean, that's not a bad thing. That's good. It shows that we're on the right track. It shows they want to be like us. But we have to be careful not to get co-opted by these moves. They understand that when they come in, their system goes down. And they know they're all in trouble when people can hold the government's feet to the fire and ask questions and do prosecution. They definitely don't want that. So they're going to want something that they can control more than us. So that, you know, when we come in, they'll say, oh, we already have a system in place for that or something like that. So just beware. Just note, they're going to start letting us in some kind of way, shape, or fashion, but maybe not the way we want to. So we have to stick to our guns and we have to be careful because they'll lay snares for us. Anyway, so I just wanted people to be aware that we're making a difference. Believe me, they would not be letting in private attorney generals or anybody else that wasn't in their system unless they're feeling the heat. And they're obviously feeling the heat. Okay, I'm done, John.
Okay. All right, keep an eye out for a phone number that's 12 digits. I believe it would start with, I don't remember what it would start with. But in any event, it would be 12 digits. And if you do get my attention to that, let's see, we start with 442. All right. All right, anyway, Let's see what else we got going here. Well, I might as well go right into that. I got a call the other day, very interesting call. I think it was yesterday. And I got another call today, this morning, from some individuals in London, UK. They're very interested in what we're doing. They're looking at what we're doing. We're setting up a conference in the next, I don't know, maybe later this week, a conference with them in England, in UK. They want to join up with us, and so we're going to be looking to extend our coverage from the United States to include also the United Kingdom. They're broken up in counties, so we'll kind of treat them like a state. We'll call them, you know, the UK, United Kingdom. We also have an interest from Canada. Same thing. I got to look into the breakdown. They may be broken up in counties, too, but we'll see how they're broken up. They, too, are interested in what we're doing. Australia, interested in what we're doing. And Ireland, interested in what we're doing. So we got four other countries that are, and they're all common law based. And there may be more. I guess that this is the tip of the iceberg. Of course, we did not solicit this. We had no idea of even thinking about doing anything like this. We thought it would be interesting that the other common law countries would eventually see what we're doing and kind of duplicate us, but they're actually asking us for help. And so we're going to give it to them, and we'll do the best we can to continue to grow our website in such a way to add those four countries. And, again, we'll put them in underneath the states. And I already started looking at the Constitution for England. They're focused in, of course, quite a bit on – and their Constitution is kind of interesting. They got some good things in there, but it's also awfully large. To read through that, it's going to be a – you know, sort of a job because they're going to find time. It's 100 and some odd pages. But on the other hand, they're, you know, large print, and so it may not be anywhere near that big. So we're
not
going to
mention there's a lot of common law courts in England. There's already a movement over there, John. I mean, you go on YouTube, you'll see all these people in England chasing the judges out. So they've already kind of, you know what I mean?
They're getting
already
some good success there.
That's right.
I've seen some of you, particularly today, I started looking at some YouTubes, and one of the guys I was talking to, he's on YouTube, and I haven't been able to watch his videos yet, but he's involved. So this, what we're doing here now has actually gone national, international now. And again, you know, they will be dealing with their own problems, their own situation. They got their own constitution, and they got to figure things out themselves. But we will assist them. We'll assist them in the process that we've used. We'll talk to them about our procedure and see what knowledge they have. I presume their procedures wouldn't be too much different than ours. After all, we got our common law. Ultimately, we've inherited to some degree from them. Because we're under English control, and that's what the law was here before we became independent. So that's kind of interesting. And again, totally unplanned, totally out of left field, and we'll take it on. With that said, you know, we're going to have to continue to develop the website, you know, little by little as we're going on. I figured we'd be developing as I get a little extra money here or there. But now we're going to really have to do a few things different, and we're going to have to do some more investment in some work there and also pay the bills. As I mentioned last week, we did hit our $8,000 goal, and so we want to thank everybody for that. We appreciate it. We did get quite a few people who gave some large amounts. You know, we had the largest was $1,000. But we had people who gave, you know, $500, $250, $150, $100. And so on. And then, of course, a lot of people who gave $5, $20, and so on, $10. The $5 to the $20, they were pretty much mostly, you know, repeaters, so that they're given money every month that way. And not so much for the $20, but we do have some. But mostly $5. And that's good. That's all we need is $5 if only everybody else would do it. I mean, we've got only a small amount of people that are given $5 a month, and we've got to pay the bills and keep things going and continue to grow and so on. So, you know, if we have let's say 100 people, and they give $5, that's $500. So, you know, we need a couple $1,000 a month easy to continue going as we go forward. So, again, anybody that can get out there and give $5 a month, it's very much appreciated. Of course, if you could do more, that's appreciated too. We do believe in the widow's mite. And it just costs money to keep things going. So whatever you could do, let's do it. We got bills to pay right now. let's see what else we got. We've got, look at, we're at a point where we have problems with the enemy. I'm sure that they're aware we're here now, I'm sure. And they're trying to give us a hard time. You know, we've had a few people removed from the website over the past couple of weeks from two different states. And I personally didn't have to do that, although I would have. I don't want to have to do that. I prefer the people of their own state do that. And that's what did happen. The people of their own state did that. They recognized the enemy and they got rid of them. They dealt with them. And, you know, some of these people may not necessarily have been the enemy, but they were useful idiots from the standpoint they were doing stupid things that were going to get themselves and us in trouble. We don't want to be related to things that could be interpreted as a subversion against the United States. We are not subverting anything against the United States. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the government that we have in place at this moment. Absolutely nothing. The problem is the parasites that have taken control of our government, and they've overlaid corporations over our government, and people think there's a government, but actually it's a corporation, and they do all their abracadabras and smoke and mirrors and their magic, and people get hijacked into these foreign courts, and of course that's the problem, and that's why we're here doing what we're doing, is to bring our courts back. And also to get rid of these corporations and bring our government back online again and being controlled by the people themselves. So we have people who complain, for instance, from time to time, we've got to get rid of our driver's license, we've got to do something with our birth certificates and all these things. You know, when we do that, we're consenting to them, we're acknowledging them, we're telling them that they have power and they have authority. I say to hell with them. They ain't got nothing. They're coming into our sandbox. We're going to ignore the fraud. And, you know, I know Thornton brings this up, and it was Lincoln who brought up the point. If you don't want to argue a point, don't bring it up. Trust me. They're not going to bring it up, so we'll never have to argue that point. So why would we want to argue the point? You know, there's no magic wand. They can all of a sudden turn and say, well, we've got jurisdiction over you because you got a driver's license or something. Again, you don't have to go through those changes. Today, of course, in today's environment, if you're in the court, you don't want to bring those things up. And they certainly won't. Out of the court, who cares? So those driver's license things and you got to make it. You got to figure out where you're going to do your battles. You know, if you want to fight with every cop going down the street and you want to take your license plate off your car and you want to drive without plates and without a driver's license and get that battle as you go down the road, then, you know, fine, that's good. You can do that. But I'd rather make my battle somewhere else and spend my time fighting somewhere else, like winning the war. And that's what we're doing right here. I don't have time to be fighting lots of traffic tickets and fighting from jail and wasting time and being in jail while you're trying to get out. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. So I'll pay the slave tax for a while and continue on my way, and we'll get our republic back, and these people will have to pay for what they have done to this nation of ours. We've got an individual who seems to be calling a lot of people up, telling them how we're doing everything wrong and that I'm deceiving people and I'm a dictator and we're going to go to jail and it's just a blowhard, of course, and look at what we're doing is perfectly legal. We've got plenty of courts. Just read the papers. Whenever you get despaired and you're concerned and you're not sure, go read the news. go read our news page, because that should build you up. That should empower you when you start to see all the authorities, and they have nothing, absolutely nothing. The only thing they have is pointing fingers at people and trying to destroy characters. That's all they have. They have nothing else. They claim to be the authority to come out as the professor, and I'm the professor, so I got authority because I'm the professor, so whatever I say is the law, and people believe that. Of course, we got to wake those people up. We don't believe that. So they have no authorities. We've got plenty of authorities. Again, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Look what we're doing here in New York, and they are doing nothing, absolutely nothing. Because there's nothing that they can do. They'd love to do something, but they can't, because we have all the law. We have everything on our side. At first, I think they wanted to get us into their courts. They figured they'd bring us under control and just refuse us and tell us, well, look, if you continue on that path, we're going to find you in contempt and all that other stuff. But now I think it's the opposite. I think they want to really keep us out of their courts, because they know how we fight our battles now, and we put all the flesh of the judges right on the line. So, and also it would get out, you know, they bring us to court at this point, definitely would be a big news story. Which, by the way, we should be getting some major news releases in the next, maybe this week, I think. I haven't had a final conversation, so it's not today, but maybe tomorrow or the next day. It's going to go out on a wire. And we've got some people who helped us write some papers, and we're still kind of discussing them back and forth. And then they're going to get it out onto the wire with all the local newspapers and all of the local TVs and whatever states we want to do it in. And of course, I think we're pushing really for the whole nation, so we'd like to get all local note throughout the nation. We're not looking to jump in on the networks, the major networks. That could come, but that's not where we want to be anyway. We want to stay grassroots. We're grassroots. We'll stay grassroots as long as we can. Anyway, so that should be coming up soon. As soon as that, as soon as we know we wrote it out already. We've been back and forth a couple times. We're gonna really tie up the loose ends maybe tomorrow, finalize it, and as soon as we get it finalized, I'll post it. And everyone should take the whatever news releases we do. We post them up on a news page. Everybody anywhere should be getting copies of that and faxing it to your local newspapers or your local TV stations. Let's get the word out there. You know, let's help get the word out as much as we can. There's also a story out there that people in Florida are going to jail and this, that, and the other thing. I've talked with Hagen Smith. There's absolutely nothing like that going on down there. The only thing that come close, and matter of fact, the person who went to find out from the person who told them, it came out of a story that was written on January 21st by a guy named Bill Thompson. And I'm going to kind of read this. It doesn't say anything about in jail to begin with. Of course, we get this all the time. Lawyers and professors love to threaten. Oh, these guys are going to be in trouble. Oh, these guys are going to go to jail. Oh, they're going to be indicted. Oh, they're going to be... But there's no indictments. There's nobody putting anyone in jail. And it can't happen. It won't happen. The people won't permit this to happen. At the point when this thing breaks, it can't happen. Anyway, let me just read it real quick. This was on Tuesday, January 21st, on 2014. And it starts off, members of a group called Common Law Grand Jury demanded on Tuesday that the county commission help them seek justice on behalf of citizens whose rights have been ignored or thwarted by government officials. Asserting authority derived from the Magna Carta, the Bill of Rights, the Florida Constitution, the U.S., the Supreme Court rulings authored by Justice Anton Scalia, the group maintained it was standing up on behalf of we the people as society's supreme rulers. They demanded three source secure rooms in the county courthouse, five new laptops, new printers, reams of papers, a conference table and office supplies, comfortable chairs for jurors, four leaders and a secretary, and also a budget of $1.5 million all by the end of the month, or else. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for these things. Of course, once we get a dialogue going here in New York, it's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to ask for all of the facilities that they presently are using for the purpose of orientating, communicating, organizing, or any of the secretarial work that's going on, a desk somewhere, all of those things that they're using now to operate the public grand juries, the corporate grand juries, and the corporate trial juries. We're going to demand that we get that space that belongs to us so they can move those people to another place or lay them off or whatever they want to do with them, but we will take control. There's also funding, at least in New York, that goes to the prosecutors here for the purpose of bringing together the grand jury, the courts deal with the trial jury. So whatever funding they're getting, their budget will be moved over to us. We'll establish our own budget as time goes on. It should be a lot less than what they're spending. And we will file it with the controller and so on. We do have information papers on these kind of things up on our website on the jurist tab. Just click on the tab that says the jurist documents under the jurist tab, and we have a lot of information on this kind of a detail, including salaries and things like that. Let me read on. The attempt of this self-designated fourth branch of government to impose the rule of law may land them on the other end of the criminal justice system. There is the threat. It doesn't even say who says it. Clerk of the Circuit Court, David Elsperman, told the commissioner that he was referring, I guess this is where this person said it, told the commission that he was referring the grand jury presentation, to State Attorney Brad King for possible prosecution under a new state law. That law enacted last year allows prosecutors to charge someone who simulates the legal process to imitate, harass, or hinder public officials while performing their official duties. Well, I guess they're going to have to go out and arrest all the judges under that new law because they certainly are simulating the legal process. They certainly are intimidating and harassing anybody that's in office that has that believes in the Constitution. It goes on, the grand jury rolled out its wish list in a six-page writ of mandamus that was delivered to the commissioners. Notice you are warned that anyone who intentionally refuses to provide for the restoration of the common law grand jury shall be charged with obstruction of justice, said Sheen Petrie. I think that's Petrie, the group spokesman, reading from the document. Okay, so absolutely anybody who gets in the way of the common law grand jury is going to face obstruction of justice charges. And depending on how far they go, I know here in New York we've gone after the four, now five judges and a clerk, for obstruction of justice and high treason and RICO and many, many other charges. And all that we can, of course, prove is not a problem. Okay, that's that. So there is nobody going to jail down in Florida. There's no one going to jail anywhere. They have nothing to go on. They're just beaten in the wind. Okay, I got an email from someone last week. I guess there was a problem. Let me just go through a couple of these things. The Google bots, see, this person listed a few things. The Google bots are crawling the entire National Liberty Alliance site and entering PPI information into the search catches for the World Wide Web of the entire National Liberty Alliance membership. First and last names, states, and phone numbers. Number two, the login page is not encrypted, and everybody's ID and passwords have been transversing the World Wide Web in clear text. Number three, modifying URL techniques allow the unauthenticated users to access the entire website. Okay, when I got this information, I immediately called up the guy who is the tech for what, you know, our site. And I spoke with him about that and voiced my concerns, and he immediately went out there and he put some higher security on. He should have probably done this earlier. I know I told him we wanted something secure. But he put more security on it, and he spent some time making sure that these things would not be an issue. So we are secure at this point, and whatever leak out that went out really would have been by people who are looking for this information that maybe have some technical abilities and understandings of how these things work, and maybe we would have found this. I don't know. I'm just guessing. So I don't have the technical knowledge, but I do know that these problems have been secured and they're fixed and it's not a problem. I've had my name and web and phone number out on the web, goodness, 10 years. I've maybe in the entire 10 years, I've got one crackpot, maybe two. And to be honest with you, they were serious people. They were a little crazy, but, you know, I talked with them and them, and they settled down, and, you know, we left, parted, disagreeing, but, you know, in a polite way. So I really have never had a problem. My number's everywhere, and I haven't had a problem. So worst comes to worst, they can change my number anyway, and so could anyone else if they feel it necessary. Let's see what else we have. And let me read to you the news release that's going to be going out. And, it, you know, this may change a little bit, but this is generally how it's going to go. And it starts off with the headlines. Thursday, February 27, 2014, at 7:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Richmond County, the good people of New York came together to constitute the 62nd and final New York Common Law Grand Jury. Subheading, growing grassroots movement spreading like a prairie fire across America with brush fires in all 50 states and about one quarter of our nation's 3,142 counties. So we do have people in about 800 counties, maybe more. Could be 1,000 at this point, but at least 800. The body text, New York, New York, March 3rd, 2014. That's going to, let's see, what's today? Today is the 3rd, so it's not going out today. Whatever day it goes out, that date will be there. New York has become the first state of the union to reconstitute common law grand juries in all 62 counties. 20 or more states are expected to follow suit within the next few months, and the other 30 by the end of the summer. On Thursday, February 27, 2014, at 7:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the final common law grand jury was constituted by the good people of New York and Richmond County, thereby solidifying the 62 counties into one unified New York common law grand jury, which is acknowledged by by Reams, which is acknowledged by Reams of United States Supreme Court rulings, the most robust being United States versus Williams, 1992, found on the front page of nationalalliance.org, where Justice Antonin Scalia, writing for the majority, said, "It belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people. The common law Fifth Amendment demands a functional traditional grand jury independent from the judicial branch with power to investigate criminal wrongdoing, requiring no authorization from its constituting courts. It swears in its own witnesses and deliberates in total secrecy." Thousands of people across America are working at the grassroots level to return justice to our out-of-control courts, and this number is growing exponentially. Attorneys and judges who have worked overtime over the past 75 years to destroy and hide with the people, from the people the very engine that could free them, Jefferson's government by the consent of the people, the grand jury. Today's attorneys and judges tell us that the common law has been abrogated and that the Fifth Amendment grand jury is for the federal courts alone. Anyone with experience in the state courts will tell you that the common law Bill of Rights have been expunged by these attorneys and judges who think they are above the law and own your courts. And only when the people become aware of the problem will we, the people, through the common law grand juries, be able to secure liberty again. The unified New York common law grand jury has engaged the judges at the highest level that have arrogantly refused the people access into their own courts and thereby have indicted 5 judges and a clerk on RICO, high treason charges. The duty of the common law grand jury is to correct all wrongdoing, whether it be in the judicial or the political realms, and that's exactly what they are afraid of. Thomas Jefferson said, educate and inform the whole mass of people is the only sure reliance for preservation of our liberty. www.nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay, now that may be changed a little bit. They like to use words, this one said that or that one said that, so they may do it more third person-y type thing from a point of view of somebody. But however, so we'll work that out with these news people who are helping us and to get this story out onto the wire. And again, once we get it up there, everyone should send it out to their local papers and, get things out. Okay, another item. I got an email recently, and I mean to talk to Gerard about this and doing some investigation. It's very interesting. It started off with Save Your Life, Jam That Drone. And the article goes on to talk about how these things are controlled by radio waves, which are very easily intercepted, and you can make those things go wacky. So we're going to be looking into this, and I'm sure a lot of people are already. And I'm sure it's some simple, technological thing here, playing around with radio waves, and we can become, we can then create drone free zones, So anyway, I'm gonna experiment this week if I have time. I was talking to Gerard. I think he's already started to experiment, but. I'm going to experiment this week. We put on a radio clip up on our news page concerning security with the computers. And we spoke a little bit about this last week. I just want to just cover this once again because this is extremely important. We really need to be thinking about this. We need this thing with the drones. We're going to work something out with that. It's extremely important to be able to make your home a drone-free zone. And there's other things, communications. We'll be talking some more about that in the future. We just haven't had time to put some kind of a package together where we can work out communications through the web program. But we'll be working on that soon. We talk about food and water. People need to be ready for the worst-case scenario. We have no idea what's coming up upon us in the near future, and we need to be prepared. So people should be storing up food, and they should be storing up, making sure they have a fresh supply of water. If you're living in the cities and things crash, it's a bad place to be. You have to have an evacuation plan. You have to be able to read the tea leaves, so to speak, to get out of there early enough so that you can, because once it hits, it's going to be awfully difficult to leave the city. But anyway, people need to prepare for these things and make a plan. We also, let me see, where was this? I had a note on this. All right, well, anyway, I lost my train of thought where I was really going with this. In any event, we need to be, the computers. That's where I'm going with this, the computers. What's the name of that operating system, Gerard? Trying to think, Linux? Yeah, Linux.
Linux, and then you put in
wine.
The other one on top of it.
Yeah, you put wine in there.
Wine.
Okay, we're going to get the information on this, and I'm going to experiment and do it myself, or try to do it myself, and record what I'm doing, so I'll give it in detail exactly what I'm doing. What you need to do, Linux operating system can be downloaded for free. Okay, so you download that onto a memory stick or onto a CD. Get a CD and put it on there. If it's not big enough, then create a digital, use a DVD. But you need to download the program. That's free. you need to buy another hard drive, okay? You don't want to put it on the hard drive you got going. I would tell you to put it on another hard drive, and we'll try to work through that process of how that works and what kind of commands and what you got to do in the BIOS or whatever it is that you got to do. We'll figure that out and we'll lay it out. And once you put it on that hard drive, there is a way, so when you boot up your computer, you can choose on whether you come to your Windows program that's already in there because you're on two hard drives, and or that new Linux program. And I know I spoke with people over at Best Buy, okay, and they told me that that's not a problem. They can set it up that way. So we'll figure out how that's to be done. Maybe I'll go talk to those people, and we'll figure out how that goes. So you need to buy a hard drive. You know, you could buy a hard drive for $59. You could buy a couple of terabytes, 2-terabyte hard drive, for goodness, $79 at Tiger, tiger.com. And there's plenty of other places you can buy them. So you need a hard drive. You need to download the program. And then you have to get the program Wine, W-I-N-E. And I don't know whether, you know, what the cost of that is, but we'll find that out. And what you do is once you have that operating system going, you install Wine on your program. Now, once Wine is on your program, for anybody who's got Windows 7 and uses the virtual XP inside of Windows 7, that's how it would work with Wine. I've got Windows 7, and I have a couple of computer screens, and I have a Windows XP, which is operational, and I can move things between the two programs. I get them both going. I throw one on one screen and one on the other screen, and I can move things in between the screens. I can do all kinds of stuff, you know, cut and paste and put them into another one and back and forth. So you can install Windows 7 or Windows XP right into Linux through Wine, and it becomes a virtual machine. And once you open that virtual machine up, you can't tell that you're operating from a Linux system. It's Windows 100%. The key thing about it is it becomes insulated from the Internet so that they can't see. They only see Linux. They can't see you're using Windows inside Linux, and they have no access into you. So this is the way you're going to protect your computer. Right now, they're going overtime, putting in the backdoors as best they can in Windows 7. It came out with backdoors, but they're really working hard on it. Windows 8 is completely open avenue to the government. They can get in anything. They literally, if you listen to the guy on the radio, he says you can literally turn your computer into a brick in a second, in a microsecond. Pop, your computer's a brick, and you'll never get into it again. Okay, so this is a very serious problem we have, and we need to think about this, and we need to solve it. And it's going to cost us $100 or $200 to do it. We need to really do it because you have no choice. Just like you should be buying, you know, a couple of $100 a month of food that you can store up. You know, I know we were talking with someone out west. I got to make that contact out there again, who is selling some long-term. Food like rations in little bags and dinners, and I'd like to reconnect with that person and maybe put it on our website where people can buy this stuff at a good price. You know, we'll make a few pennies of it, of course, and that'll help support the National Liberty Alliance. Also, we have on our website right now available. Well, we haven't really got it available yet. But we have a picture of what we're offering. If you go to services and highlight services, and you come down to NLA T-shirts, we're going to be selling T-shirts. The T-shirt design is there. I'm not sure what colors. At first, we were just going to do sort of a beige or a tan, sort of the same color as our website. And we'll definitely do that. But you know, we'll probably offer other colors. I'll see. We're probably going to sell them for $20 a piece, and that'll give us a couple of bucks again to be able to help support the website. And so I hope to get that fixed up this week, get that up and going. Now, also, we've made contact with a printer who is going to help us through the system to get our book done. We worked out a deal on some prices. And that's, they're very reasonable prices. I think they were like, we have to purchase so many. So what I think we're going to do is we're going to start taking orders. And you'll have to buy 100 at a time. That's the minimum. This is for the Juris Handbook, the pocketbook that slides in your top pocket. And we can get this down pretty cheap as time goes on, but we have to buy large quantities in order to get that done. So we're going to start taking some pre-orders, and I'll set something up. For right now, it's just going to be checks. Checks or money orders, you'll have to mail them to me, and we'll just hold them until we hit 10,000. Once we hit 10,000, then we can make the order. And I think we should be able to hit 10,000 quite quickly. 10,000, I think it was somewhere about 60 or 70 cents a piece, somewhere in that neighborhood. So that was very reasonable because I hadn't seen anything less than $2 a piece. Now, once we move to a higher number, you know, like we get 100,000, the price drops dramatically. And we might be able to get that down to like 40 cents a piece. And once we reach a couple hundred thousand, again, I don't have these numbers in front of me. I'm kind of taking some guesses. It may not even be that high, but I think it is. You know, we can get them down even to about 35 cents a piece. So these are books that we all need. Once we establish the grand juries and we're in play, you know, in place, then the state will be paying for them. And we will literally need to be ordering thousands at a time because just think about it. You need to have plenty on hand. You need to give one to every judge and every prosecutor and every lawyer you speak to. You need to give one to every jurist, whether it's trial jury or grand jury. Anytime anybody has a problem and you do an investigation and you go to an office, you want to hand those books out to the people there and even to the person who made the complaint. You know, we got to hand them out freely. Now, in the beginning, you know, we're going to have to pay for them ourselves. And so we do want to get the best price. And even for the state, we want to get the best price, too, because, you know, we're paying the taxes on that, and we'll be paying for them ultimately anyway through our taxes. But we'll do the best we can to bring it down as fast as we can, you know, to 35, 40 cents a piece. You know, 65 or 70, I think, is where it's at now. Again, I don't remember how you will look. That's not too bad. So for every 100, that's 60 cents or 70 cents a piece, you know, for every 100, that's $60 or $70. If we get it down to 35 or 40 cents, that's 35 or 40 bucks per 100. And again, you know, we need to be doing that. If you got four people working together or more in the county, you know, you could take a collection and get a bunch of these things and start handing them out. We'll prepare to hand them out, especially when we get into talking to judges. We're definitely going to need them for that. So we should start stocking up a little bit on these things. I know we're all out of pocket with this, and it's hard, but we got to do what we got to do. Keep the receipts for everything you do because we get in. We fully intend on getting reimbursed by the state for everything we all of our costs. So everybody should keep receipts for anything they're doing concerning these things, buying or whatever, even for buying the seal. Now, the seal delivered, it's like $42 or something, delivered with taxes and everything. But it's just about $50 from Staples. There's other places you can buy it, and you might even get a little cheaper in other places. I don't know. But Staples was a pretty good deal, I thought. So that's where we order it, and we have all that information up there. Let's see what else. We're at a point we're going to be reset. We're going to set the page up shortly. Since New York is completely done, at some point soon, again, we have to wait till we get some money because these things are going to cost a little more money in developing and, you know, and creating the, you know, necessary things on a website. We've got a page that's already set up, but you don't see it because we pulled it offline. And it's called the Grand Jury Directory page. And whenever a grand jury becomes constituted, you know, the state coordinators go out and they have a way to get into the area. They put a checkbox into that county, and it shows up and it makes a count on our page on that everyone sees on the top right side. We have 3,142 counties, and right now we have 171 constituted, okay? And so every time someone gets in there, puts a check mark next to one of the counties, a number pops up there. But there's also a page where that county under that state appears. And in these places where we check the box, there's a place to put a phone number. And people need to get phone numbers at some point in time, and they get put into our directory. So the state coordinators, as people get a phone number, they call up and they give it to the state coordinator, and they would post it in there, and a phone number would appear next to that county. But again, right now we do have a page that is starting to show the counties, what counties have been elected, and a place for the phone number. I've already got a phone number. I use the service I've been using for 15, 20 years. And we made that available to everyone, again, on the services up on the top of our page. You'll go to services and click on Follow Me Phone. So when you're ready and you feel that you want to get a phone, you can get a phone through this service. Now, you can get a phone any way you want, but this phone here has some really good features to it. Makes it very simple for four people or more to share. This phone can be moved around very easily. You get faxes through this phone service. You get a fax number, and the faxes come through your email. And if you want four people to get the email, the faxes, all four people will get it. However you want to do it, you set it up. So it's a good communicational thing. You can set yourself up to be off on the weekends, on holidays, and after 5 o'clock, and there's different messages and different things. So it's very integrated, very sophisticated. Again, I've been using it for a long time. It's got a good follow me process, program in it. It follows it chases you down to find you. And while the person is waiting, they get to listen to something. I put up there, which I think I put the MP3 up here. If I didn't, I'll put it up on this page. Let me see if I got it here. Okay, no, I don't have it up here, but I will put it up here. I have an MP3 that I use, which is the reading, the introduction to Trial by Jury by Spooner, okay? So when people call that number that I've got, they'll get a message, thank you, you've reached the Common Law, Dutchess County Common Law Grand Jury, we will be with you momentarily. And then they'll hear the introduction to Spooner, and then they will, as they chase us down to find us. And you can go to the series of phones, you can go to one person, that person isn't found, go to another person, and so on, as many as you want. Or you can chase different phones you have. You could send Monday up to go to Sue, and Tuesday up to go to Joe, and Wednesday up to go to Sally, and whatever you want to do. So it's very, again, integrated and it's a good service. But the other thing is that buying this service through here, again, same thing. National Liberty Alliance makes a few cents on every whenever you pay your monthly bill, we make a few cents on it. And again, that helps to support what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. So do take a look at our services. We also have a gold and silver thing. People need real money, and you need to be going out and buying gold and silver. We believe we've got the best prices out there, so you can buy gold and silver at the best prices. You can get into a business with it, or you can just purchase it, either way. But the bottom line is everyone should be getting gold and silver as much as they can. And so we supply that, and again, if you get into the business side of that thing, we make a few bucks, and you make a few bucks. Let's see what else. We also have business cards. For those who don't know, we've got a couple of different business cards, one for National Liberty Alliance and one for Grand Jury, which would have your state. Excuse me. Your state and your county.
I'd like to mention something if you at one point, John.
Yeah, go right ahead. That's pretty much it.
I want to bring up the fact that we got some really good videos. Hagen Smith made a video on a radio interview. I don't know if it's up on our site yet, but It's on YouTube, and actually, if you just put in Hagen Smith interview, it's a very well done interview.
Yeah, but it's the first thing on our news page right now.
Right.
The
so
news.
You guys out there, you should download them and send them around. Now, the other thing that John and I were talking about, and it's something that I'm going to try to pick up the ball to, is we have all these public access TV stations that they have to give to every certain size town or county, and I guess they have an agreement with the major news medias. They have to supply PEG, public educational and government programming. And they've been doing a lot of playing around. You know, each one's supposed to have their own channel, and what ends up happening is like Time Warner will take and shove the three of them together on one channel, and then they take the other two channels, which are supposed to be public access, and they start using them in advertising for their own. Somehow the radio stations rent that to Time Warner. I don't know how they're doing it. It's another kind of a squirrely, fugazi deal. They shouldn't be able to rent public access to a private company and make money at it. I don't know where the money's going. I don't care. But what happens is one of the big problems with these public access stations is content. They don't have content. They put a lot of silly stuff up there, you know what I mean? And nobody watches it. Now, if we can get, now we have some videos that can be downloaded. I also have different CDs and DVDs that I get and I hand out. If you can check in your town who has access to the studio, because what they do is they give them time slots. And some people just go in and play movies, like all the DVDs that I made at the studio, they're 58 minutes long. And the reason they're 58 minutes long is because that's the kind of time slots that they hand out. So you could take those videos and you could give them to the person that has access to the studio. Now, sometimes they only have it late at night or different hours, but I'm going to tell you, if people start watching that and it starts taking off, they'll start giving it a better and better time slot. They do want people to come to these stations. You know, there is an advantage to people watching them for the studio and for Time Warner and that. So if we start putting our content on public access, that's really where we want to be. But that should be the place that the people go to get their news, their local news. You know, so anytime we have a DVD or a CD and you give it to these people and you tell them, listen, when you've got a slot that you don't have anything else to put in, or just make a slot if you think this is good enough and put these DVDs on. Like Hagen Smith, that was a wonderful interview. I think that one's only 26 minutes long, so you'd have to, like, you know, give him that and something else. You want to do like an hour slot. That's generally what they do, and somebody has to be in there to change the tape, so the guy's going to have to sit there. You know, if it runs 26 minutes, he's either going to have to splice them together or he's going to have to actually stop it and add it in. But a lot of people have access to this. And instead of putting, you know, I mean, the kids do their plays and all this, but people don't actually tune into that. When they understand that we're taking our country back and that there's a prescription and a plan and they can hear the latest news on it, that's the news stations that we run as the people. We don't have to worry about, you know, them twisting our words or anything. That's the place you want to be. I mean, we have this guy over here in Woodstock, and he also is down in Manhattan. He reaches a potential 800,000 people, I think it is, with his broadcast. And what they're doing is, you know, when he has trouble with a judge, he goes on the TV and he starts telling all the stuff that goes on in the court. And these guys, like, they can't stand it, because you know what happens when you turn the lights on, the cockroaches run. And so when he puts this stuff out there, it helps his cases. They've been attacking him and trying to put, you know, he has station number, let's say 33. They want to change him to 3,033 or 1,033. Now, how many people channel surf up to 1,033? So they're trying to get rid of him because they can't hold up to, you know, the exposing that he does. And he also attacks Time Warner a lot, because Time Warner is playing a lot of games with the public access TV, and they're selling and renting times that
maybe one of the things we could do, maybe what we do is talk to Joe. By the way, we do have a guest on from London. I believe they're from London. They're from the UK, which I'm going to open up their mic in a minute. But maybe what we should do is talk to Joe and ask him to maybe write something up for us on how people can do this in their own neighborhood, you know, where they would go, what's the process, where to get the forms. And then it's a matter of really just getting a video that you want to put on. I mean, goodness, you could put our video on from our front page at the Power of the Common Law Grand Jury. You could put Hagen Smith up there and some other things that we've got and other people have. And we can start getting this message. We'll stop making videos for the Common Law Grand Jury, and then we can have people take them and download that and put it on to their own, or we can mail out DVDs or whatever. But we should get a program across America so that we can get all of these access to, you know, programs to TV locals out, you know, alternative information. But I do want to go to the question.
When you get a big following, they let you use the studios to make the videos. It's a
right.
Professional studio.
You don't even need a big following to do that. That's you can go in and use those studios, period. So
you can, as long as there's not other popular things that you need to bump, because they, you know, they go by ratings.
Well, yeah,
like
there are other people that, but most of these things are empty. There's a lot of room for us to move in. And if there's someone
right
there,
you're
fine.
Right.
Let's talk with them and feed them, because they're doing the stories we're doing anyway. They'd love
us. They always need an hour just to fill in. I mean, even if they just used our stuff to fill in, we would get popular, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you guys should think about that. And even before you get there, there's always somebody in the community that has access to that, that has put in for time. And you can do it yourself. You can find out where the public access is, and you can put in for a time slot and start playing videos. And you can even stand up there and talk for a little while if you feel so inclined, you know. So we should think about that, because that's the people's TV. That's not, you know, if we don't use it, they're going to take it from us.
Well, let me move over to our caller in London. It's 4 o'clock in the morning there, and they were kind enough to stay up this late to come on, so I'm going to put them on first. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of a chat. This person's name is, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, is Nilu. She'll correct me if I'm wrong. And she's from London, UK. We spoke yesterday. And also after I spoke with her today, I got another call, as I mentioned earlier, from another individual, Patrick Cullinane. And he's got some YouTube stuff going on. And then we've got some information of other contacts of other individuals from other countries. Both of these people are from the UK. And let's see if we can get a chat going. Nilu, I'm going to unmute your mic. You got the mic. Welcome to our program here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here. I wanted to share our enthusiasm for the grand juries with your following in America, and seeking assistance really to kickstart the what you're doing on your website and other, you know, this radio program as well. Very grateful for any assistance you can give us.
Oh yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be talking with our programmer and looking to pull some new funding hopefully shortly. And I was looking into the UK to see how they're broken down, and they're still broken down in counties. And it seems that their court system is not unified, and that could be a good thing. I was watching some videos today on YouTube and seeing how things were going, and I saw some good results happening from some of the people there taking over the courts. And even the police that have been called refused to do anything to these people because they understood that they were exercising their unalienable rights, and they are still, the people still believe they're under common law, even though they've hijacked the courts over where you're at, just like they've done here with us. And so, you know, we've been looking, I was looking into today, it's kind of fascinating, and I also saw, like I said, that you're still broken up in counties, and it looks like every county has its own court, which would be the common law court. I think they called it the something Lords something or other, but now they changed it to the Supreme Court. But you would know more than I would on that. But I'm going to continue to investigate that. And what we will do, hopefully we'll be able to set it up where we'll put different countries in there that want to come on, like Canada and Ireland. And I was talking with Patrick, and he said there was an interest out even down in the land down under, Australia. And so we'll try to make places for each one of those common law countries, and also set up the counties all over that are broken up, and where people can organize and start doing what we're doing. You can use our process. It's common law. It's all the same. And you can use the process we're using in order to establish it in an honorable way and to bring justice back. And then following through. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't doubt that your judicial process is no different than our judicial process as far as how things get started and what a grand jury does with the bill, with the true bill, and how they file it and so on. We'll investigate that to try to figure out how that's done. It sounds like Patrick out there is a pretty involved individual, and he may know the answers to these things, and with his knowledge and some of our research and his research, we'll hammer out some stuff for the UK, and we'll try to do the same thing for the other countries.
I just wanted to ask you if you said that you have the Bill of Rights in America, and that, I mean, in the UK we have the Magna Carta 1215, that I think that's what Patrick relies on for for the grand juries. Then the other thing is we're not sure about the use of the buildings and the funding for it's local authorities that fund the courts, the magistrates' courts and the county courts. I believe it's the central government that funds the London Royal Courts of Justice. That includes the High Court, the civil, appeals, and then there's the criminal appeals at the Old Bailey in London. We're not sure how we would access the use of these buildings, and I think Carl Lentz has got some ideas that we could use about that. That any assistance there would also help us.
Well, right. Like I said, I spoke with Patrick. We're going to try to have a conference by the end of the week or as soon as we can, and then we'll try to pull some other people together, some people of knowledge from, we're here in America, and people of knowledge in the UK, and start to hammer out a plan. I would think it would be the same as us. All of these courts ultimately fall for the people under the common law. If it's a criminal case, it falls under the common law court. If it's a civil case, it falls under the common law court. You can have a combination, where you have both civil and criminal at the same time going on. You can have a lawsuit for monetary, in order to get, reinstated, whatever your damages are. And at the same time, it can be a criminal thing. So common law covers the whole gambit of anything that that an individual, a person, or one of the people would come up to. So I don't think it'll be any different in your country than it is in ours. As a matter of fact, we got a lot of our system right from you guys out there in the UK. And we're also under the Magna Carta. We call upon the Magna Carta, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, which the Bill of Rights is part of the Constitution, and the Holy Bible. And that's what we use for common law here in America. And I would imagine you would use the Bible and the Magna Carta and your Constitution. I was looking a little bit at it. And you get some good stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff in there, so there's probably a lot of garbage in there, too. But I did see some really powerful things in your Constitution, and I was very pleased to see. The other thing is that, someone has got to orientate the people. Someone has got to prepare the people and call the people and spend a day with them, and then be there to answer questions. Someone has got to do investigations on behalf of the grand jury, and those people need to pay for food and shelter just like anyone else, so there has to be a paid position. So the government, the local government, should pay I mean, right now they're paying for the process of pulling a grand jury together, orientating the grand jury, same thing with the trial juries, and they have room and space and a secretary and someone would do the paperwork and the phone calls. And I mean, all of that already exists. That budget's already there. It's in your system. It's in our system. The thing is, this is the people's business. We need to take control of that. Obviously, the wolf cannot be in charge of the hen house. There's a lot out there. And you're going to use a lot of the stuff that we have here in America. It's common law. We have Spooner, trial by jury. That stuff will benefit you as much as it benefits us. Our common law procedures and process, we have a guy named Bill Thornton who teaches on common law. Your court should not be any different than ours. Common law does not permit for a man to make any decision on anything. It's the people's decision. They're the tribunal. A judge can't make a decision. He's hired help. He's a political animal to begin with. So he can't make those decisions. Well, she can't make those decisions. So I'm sure when we get together, we'll be able to hammer out, whatever authorities that you have out there and whatever rulings that have been in place. And of course, we use the Magna Carta too and the Holy Bible. So I'm sure we have a lot of stuff out there. You know, common law has a rich, an extremely rich, rich history, and especially in England, because that's where it really had its real strong birth, right there about 300-400 A.D., right there in England. So, and it grew and it matured, and then we picked up on that after we wrote the Declaration of Independence. So we share the same common history, same thread. And I'm sure we can put a lot together.
Could you say a little bit about, say, how many people would you need in the jury pool to select, say, the 25? Do you need just 25 in the pool?
Well, what we do is we're working on building jury pools, but we're not looking about how many people we get into jury pools as much as we're looking at how many people we can get in a county to work towards becoming the administrators. Each county, when we got this from the Magna Carta sends four people out in order to investigate a complaint or a problem, and they would do their best to fix that problem. And if they can't fix that problem, then they come back and tell it to the 25. And then the 25 will make a decision to try to fix that problem or send it into the trial jury in a court. And that's the process. Now, the grand jury isn't pulled together in the beginning, really. It's just the four administrators. You can start off with one administrator in a county. Eventually, you get two, three, and four. But you need four, really, to operate correctly. So each county must have a minimum of four administrators. Some counties might need more. They may need five or six, so people have to figure that out. But four is the minimum. And so those people would be responsible for training, when the court calls for a grand jury to hear a complaint from the state, then they would call the administrators. The administrators would muster together 25 people, and they would take them through an orientation. They would teach them the principles, and the principles of the grand jury or any jury is to look at all things with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And the two maxims for the grand jury that really leads us is: for every injury, there must be a remedy, and in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. So, those are the things that we are guided by. Anyway, those are the things we're guided by, and we have to teach the people that. We put together some series of videotapes where people can watch. And different things, and then we can have discussion and so on and so forth. You know, the court, when they call a grand jury, they'll spend a whole day orientating them. Well, we will too. We're going to teach them what liberty is. We're going to teach them what true law is, what the common law is, which is also natural law. And so after, you know, a day spent with the administrators, one or more, they will have a sense of what their duty is, and they'll also take an oath. A sworn oath to operate, to the governor of the universe, to operate with the principles that we've taught them, and that they know in their hearts are true, and the two maxims that guide us. And I think this is now a people thing. It's a flesh thing. You know, people want to do the right thing. So if they do this with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy, they'll make the right decision every time. They'll be able to go to sleep at night. But then, you know, if there's a trial jury, it has to be pulled because the grand jury can't settle it. Then they go to and pull the trial jury, and the same thing goes there. So when the state calls for a grand jury, we would muster that grand jury, and they would come hear those cases. We would be there when the prosecutor would be addressing the grand jury so that they wouldn't abuse the grand jury. So at least one of the administrators would be there. Now, we here in, we settled up here in New York, and I believe all the states are following the same way. You know, we have four administrators in every county. Like I said, we have 62 counties in New York. And when it comes to dealing with the problems on the state level, like dealing with the governor's office or dealing with the assembly or the Senate, then we, those four, one or more of those people within each county would come together as a unified grand jury, and we would act as the grand jury. We would choose a foreman, and we would do what's necessary to deal with those problems on that level. But generally speaking, the four administrators would rarely, if ever, sit on a grand jury. They really are the investigators for the grand jury. If they find a problem that they can't fix in a particular office of government or someplace, and they can't fix it, and they come back and they tell it to the 25, and the 25 will continue that investigation and make a decision on indictment or not, and then it's passed to the trial jury. So this is the job of the people. We obviously cannot trust our government with it. And our Fifth Amendment, which I'm sure you can find, it really comes from Magna Carta, you've got the same thing, but our Fifth Amendment requires and demands of the people to be that tribunal. A judge can judge nothing unless it's a case for under $20. Anything above that or any criminal case must be judged by a grand jury, whether it's going to go to trial or not. And if it goes to trial, then a jury, the tribunal, the trial jury must make the decision on both facts and law. You know, judges love to judge. They love to throw people out with no findings, you know, no standing or no cause of action here in America. That's their two biggest things. They throw people out all day long. They don't have that authority. Not in common law. They can't do that. And they can't make a judgment on a person. They can't sentence someone to jail. It's not their job. They've never been given that authority. And when they do it, it's only because it's an easy prius court and we have consented to them to do it. By the fact that we go along with them, so we're content. Yeah, you want to put me in jail? I'll give you the permission to put me in jail because I'm going to make a plea and go through all that. And I know you understand the denial of their jurisdiction. And if you deny their jurisdiction, they can't do anything. It is an uphill battle, but it is what it is. We need to change that and turn it around and bring it right back to the common law. Once we establish a seat in the court, we're working under the auspices of justice. From within the courthouse, and we have authority. Everybody recognizes that authority, including the judge. And so when we go sit down with the judge and we let him know, hey, look, your court's a common law from this point forward. No need to treat this court here in this courthouse, you know. And if he breaks that, then you'll have to indict him for violating people's unalienable rights, for violating their oath, for stepping out under the color of law. Same thing with the prosecutor. You know, he's got to understand, don't be thinking about calling a grand jury or making any decisions or agreements with anyone. That's, you know, prosecutors can't make a deal with a criminal, even if they are a criminal. I don't know yet or not, but the point is they can't make a deal with people. Only the grand jury can do that. And so this is where we got to get to.
Yeah, I mean, we have the same problems in the UK whereby the coroner, say, will forbid the jury to make any findings on law, and they will only they'll say that they even forbid them to make any findings that there has been an unlawful killing, and that's what happened at my niece's inquest, and this is what kind of got me onto this path, and also, you know, judges are sitting on their own. There are no juries in any of the courts in the UK, and the magistrate's court doesn't even have tape recordings. So we've got serious issues about any transcripts or anything that's taken place in a magistrate's court. And even when there was a fraudulent prosecution against my family to victimize us, in the Crown Court there was no tape recording, and tape recordings are going missing, files are going missing, they're tampering with people's evidence, and there's perjury being witnessed by judges, and nothing's been done about it by solicitors and barristers. On a daily basis, and it's very frustrating because you go to court and you get battered. You know, they stick costs in personal injury cases I've got experience of, where the insurance companies are basically, battering the victims with costs and repossessions of their homes, rather than giving them any compensation. And the Financial Services Authority doesn't have any records of what percentage insurance companies are giving back to the insured when they're injured. And, the corporations are controlling the courts, the local authorities, the prosecutors are controlling the courts, funding and controlling the courts. So it's a very urgent need to get this system up and running as soon as possible. There's a lot of burning out. People don't even bother going to court now, we're just looking for direction, and we've got a lot of energy to do this. We're really grateful for what you've got going over there in America.
Right, well, I appreciate that. And again, we have a lot of the same problems, and we have discovered some ways to deal with some of these problems. Like you say, that they don't take a record. We do have courts that don't keep a record, or they go into the back room. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And then, of course, the records often, if it's really bad, are changed. But the way to beat all that out, there's a biblical principle, the truth is known by two or three witnesses. So you bring at least two or three witnesses to the court, more if possible. And our strategy is every time the judge opens his mouth, everybody picks up their pencils and start writing. Everybody comes in with a paper and pencils. So he knows he's being recorded. Every word that comes out of that mouth of his or hers. And then at the end of the court, at the end of the day, then people do affidavits. And of course, whoever's, running the case, whose case it is, they want to do an affidavit, so you get as many as you can. And now you have a witness of the court case. And in any court of record or common law, a affidavit unrebutted is truth, period. And it serves as the final word in the courtroom. And so we have it on the affidavit, and they don't. Now, there's also ways of really, I saw them looking for the oaths of the judge. And I saw a tape today out there in the UK, and they held their ground. It was quite a long tape. It was about 20 minutes long, 25 minutes long. They called down for security, and security wouldn't remove them. And they called the police, and when the police came, they wouldn't remove them. And as a matter of fact, the police just stepped aside and said, they can't do nothing. This is their rights, So they understood, those police. And I was kind of surprised at that. But nevertheless, the fact that these people, the clerk the clerk seemed to be doing most of the talking, the fact that an oath would not be produced, okay, silence is guilt, okay? And there again, therein is a way to deal with the problem. We go into a court, and we want to make sure we got the right jurisdiction. The jurisdiction that we're in is common law. And we make it clear in our paperwork, and we lay it down, and we make the points to the court. And when we see that going into a statutory process, which is called a nisi prius court, first unless you object. So in other words, if you don't object to that court that's going forward, you've agreed, and you're in it, and that's it, you're stuck. That's why you've got to object to it. But a nisi prius court is a statutory court created by statutes, and that's not a common law court. And so when we go into a court, one of the first order of business is to make sure the judge understands what jurisdiction we're in. The sovereign of the court gets to choose the jurisdiction, the plaintiff, And usually the defendant, they're brain dead anyway. You know, those lawyers over there don't even understand what we're talking about, so they don't know enough to challenge the jurisdiction. They couldn't win if they did anyway, but they don't even know enough. So actually they agree. By silence, they agree. So we tell the judge, hey, we set the jurisdiction. They're silent. They agree to the debt. And now you're taking us down a different avenue. So, you know, what jurisdiction are we in, Your Honor? And, of course, you won't answer that. And after you do it two or three times and you object two or three times, then you can make the point in the court. The record show that the judge has a duty to speak. He decided to be silent, and he's committing fraud on the court. And then at that point, we sue him. Next time we come to court, he's on the defendant's list. And that's a process you guys can pick up there in England also and do the same thing.
Absolutely. That sounds like the way to go. I think definitely there's a lot of commonalities between us, the problems that we have here and that you have there, and we still have common laws everywhere, especially probably in the Commonwealth countries as well, that this could be used internationally. I wondered if you had looked up the work of Kevin Annett.
Well, I haven't, but I might have seen him and not realize it. Gerard, have you heard of Kevin Annett? I think he's the guy in Canada that did something on an international level, something with Rome. Is that the guy?
Yeah, he had last year, I believe, early last year, held a grand jury in Brussels. In an unspecified location in Brussels at the International Criminal Court of Crimes by Church and State. I think it's ITCCS.org. And he's got a video about what the findings were. There were 30 defendants, and they'd written to the 30 defendants, mostly at the Vatican, some in Canada, some, and one lady in the UK, who we can all imagine who she is. And then because they had not received any responses, and they were all found guilty of the crimes against humanity, with the children, the abuse against children. They had sent out these formal notices of the findings, and I believe that they had required the public to make citizens' arrests on these named individuals, but I don't know, you know, how it's been implemented.
You know, I spoke with Patrick, which I guess you know Patrick Cullinan.
Yeah.
I think he said he spoke to you, and then he called me. And I think he mentioned him, and that he might be able to get a connection with him. And he'd be an interesting person to talk to in our conference when we get together to try to figure things out and lay some groundwork and see where we can go with this. And, you know, no matter whatever happens in the United States, and we're pretty far along, we anticipate 20 states within the next couple of months. I have a feeling it's going to be in the next 30 to 45 days, we're going to have at least 20 states totally common law. And at that point, I believe New York will be seated. And before the middle of the year, the middle of the summer here, I believe we'll have pretty much every state on board, you know, 100% or close to it across America. And that would be a very powerful statement, and that would, of course, put a really good springboard for all of the other countries that are working with us, like England and Canada and potentially Ireland. And Patrick brought up, I guess he knew some people down in Australia. You know, we will be able to springboard each other because the pressure will become so great, and they'll have to let it go through. And that's, one of our, when you come onto our website, the first words you see is only the people can save America or save the Republic. Only the people can do it. And it's the same thing anywhere. Only the people can do it. There's no politician. There's nobody that's going to step up and has the power, the authority, people can even, you know, dodge the bullet that they would send at them. They just can't do it. But if the people step up, there's too many of them. And as long as we do it before they do their crazy deeds, you know, we'll get them before they get us. That's what we got to do.
What's your view about, because Patrick was saying that no person who's ever sworn an oath of office will be allowed to sit on a grand jury. Is that the same view that you hold?
Well, anybody who is actively sitting in a public position could not sit on a grand jury. I would think that once they retired or if they got a different job and went somewhere else, they could sit on the grand jury. You know, a police officer that's retired or a police officer that was for 10 years and went and did something else, they could sit. I don't see why they couldn't sit on a grand jury. It would be a conflict of interest if they're in government and sitting on a grand jury. That's where the contradiction would be. But the key thing to what keeps our grand jury pure, with the way we put it together, is that oath that people swear to the governor of the universe. They take an oath to the governor of the universe, and we get two Bible verses which God tells us we're allowed to do this. And so when you take that oath is you're swearing to act with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And when 25 people get together, or 12 people for a trial jury get together, and they're discussing things, and someone is not working off of those principles, they can see that pretty clearly. And if that's the case, they can take that person and correct them. And if they refuse to correct them, they can can them. They can make a vote to get rid of that person. You know, there are two spare wheels on for every 12 on the trial, and with a grand jury, you start off with 25, but you whittle all the way down to a certain number. We've chosen the number 12. So if you got whittled down all the way down to 12, you're still good. Once you get below 12, now you've got to call a new grand jury and start all over. But I think that will protect it, even from a person who was working for the government at one point and no longer is. So anyway, you can't deny one of the people their unalienable right of not only calling and requiring a jury, but also having the opportunity to do their duty and sit on a grand jury. But, of course, as a government individual, bureaucrat, elected, hired, appointed, they couldn't. It would be a conflict of interest. They couldn't do it. Same thing with, you know, when you go out and you investigate on behalf of the grand jury as the administrators would do, they're already biased. Okay, yeah, they can bring their points to the grand jury, and in theory they could sit on that grand jury, but it's best for them just to tell it to 25 and try to convince the 25 that they need to indict. So that's a better position to be in. But clearly none of them can sit on a trial jury because they're already biased. And it would be the same thing, you know?
We have a lot of whistleblowers here now that people are very frustrated in their jobs and seeing a lot of wrongdoing, not happy about it and wanting to fix it. And the Public Interest Disclosure Act is supposed to protect them, but, you know, it doesn't work. And I think there's a lot of even judges and insiders in police who are blowing the whistle on the wrongdoings, and so therefore they would be suitable, you know, so as long as they can say that they I think if anyone in public office complies with Magna Carta, then they should be allowed to, you know, they promise and undertake, they should be allowed to keep the jobs, and otherwise they can go home without pay, you know.
Any one of those people can bring their story to the grand jury. You know, any four people, they could be police officers, they could be anyone. If they see a wrongdoing, anybody can come to the grand jury and make their case before the grand jury of a wrongdoing that needs to be indicted. And that process, that must be considered by that grand jury. So they kind of get to sit on the grand jury without missing a vote. That's the key thing. Because they're coming and they're bringing the case before the grand jury. And so anyone can do that, and whether they're working for the government or not. And it's up to the grand jury to make that decision. same thing again, you know, with the, it just wouldn't be right for the administrators to be sitting on the grand jury because then it's too much control. You know, and the people would point their fingers. You see, they're there forever. They're making all the decisions. No, that's why we got to be careful with that. But when it comes to an individual for sitting on a grand jury or a trial jury that's working for the government, I don't see any way that they can do their duty on as a grand jurist or as a trial jurist. I think it's they're too close to home. They can't do it. I don't see any way they can. But again, you know, they leave that job, they retire, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And until, you know, the whole programming is changed in the minds of these people that work in these jobs, that they're totally far removed from, you know, the common laws and become corporational-led and manipulated. And in England, it's always the case that the people who are the most corruptible tend to get promoted, and the ones that tend to be whistleblowers, they tend to be kicked out.
Well, that's the way of the New World Order. That's how they get control. They want to get as many criminals as possible. You know, we have a big problem here in the States with police brutality. It's just gone crazy here in throughout the whole United States here. And that's because they do psychological things on, you know, to see who's coming in to be a police officer. And I've heard that if you have a high Q higher than a certain point, they won't take you at all. But they don't want you there. They want people that are controlled and can be controlled, and they like people that already have a violent streak in them. And that's good for their business, the New World Order business. So. And what they've done with the corporation out there with you, they've done with us. They've incorporated the United States, and they've laid the corporation on top of our government, the United States of America. And all of these parasites have infiltrated and controlling our government on the federal level. But they've done it on the state level, too. Every state has been incorporated. There may be an exception to the rule here or there, but generally speaking, every state has been incorporated. Every county in America has been incorporated. Just about every town and city has been incorporated. I know that there's a few towns that aren't, and I think I heard that there was a state that wasn't. But in any event, generally speaking, this is what they've got. It's called corporatism. And corporatism is synonymous with Nazism, Marxism, you know, all of that. That's how they take control. They own everything, and so we have the same problem you have. We're trying to educate our sheriffs, and that's what we're doing in New York right now, is educating our sheriffs. How, generally speaking, are the police mostly on your side, or just a small percentage, or what?
Well, again, like you say, the IQ of the police is very, very low. And, you know, the police will think that they can get involved in evictions, but, you know, unless a crime's been convicted, you don't have to open your door to anybody. I mean, people don't open the door to anyone. And there's just the police tend to think that they can, and they don't even know the law. They think that they have the right to assist bailiffs and to take property when they don't, because, you know, the mortgage scam in this country is not really out in the open yet. You know, with this the BACS, BACS, the direct debits that goes into the kitty, which nullifies the original contracts with mortgages, which entitles people to get their money under the BACS direct debit guarantee, and that is a fraud that's been committed by the corporations, by the banks against the people, which entitles them to get their money back. Nobody really should be made homeless. Police should never get involved with making people homeless or having their property taken. So police, they have to be educated really with the common laws, but by the public, because the media, like you were saying earlier about the media, about the videos and training to empower the people, it's really important. you know, and we do need media platforms. We don't have, I don't know if we have any public access TV or public educational platforms in this country. You know, it all tends to be, and it's very expensive to have a media, you know, like a Sky channel. It's like £30,000 per month.
Well, you guys out there, you have constables, right? Do you still have sheriffs or no more sheriffs? I know years ago, many years ago, we had sheriffs.
I don't think we have sheriffs in London. They may be, you know, in the rural areas. But we'll have to look into that.
And now you have constables. Now, constable and police, I know it's a police force, but are they the same thing? Are there police officers that work for towns and cities and things, and then there's the constable, or is the constable the police, period?
I think because we've got this the City of London, and then we have Westminster Magistrates Court. I mean, for my indictment against the government for the embezzlement of the £720 billion last year, I sent my indictment to all the magistrates in the UK, and they all refused jurisdiction, and they all were sent to the Westminster Magistrates Court. So the Magistrates Court is exercising denial, or basically controlling all the Magistrates Courts. So there are no private prosecutions being processed in any Magistrates Court except the Westminster Magistrates Court. And the City of London, they seem to exercise jurisdiction over the rest, vast local government seems to exercise jurisdiction over the rest of the country, it seems. We have a Central London County Court, and the senior judge there, Judge David Charles Mitchell, he controls the other 18 county courts in London, so you'll find your case finds its way to him, and he does his usual thing, you know, about hiding files and assisting the solicitors to commit perjury, etc., and relies on that perjury to strike out claims, to help the banks and the insurance companies. And despite complaints against him, he's still in position. So there's a lot of power control, and I wouldn't be surprised if the police force has got the same thing, where Central London Metropolitan Police is really controlling all the police force in the whole of UK. So I think London, like the City of London, is responsible for a lot of problems with the finance and the control with the corporations. I think that's what the Occupy movement was trying to do, was to take back the City of London to stop all this control. And I think probably that the City of London controls not just England, but the whole of the planet. So somehow I think I think Paul Randall Jolliffe had, made a case against the lady of this country and the City of London to try to take back the City of London from, you know, because apparently common laws allow the people to take it over. And if that could be achieved under common law, then I think everything else would fit into place.
Well, you know, here in America, well, you know, even out there, the key thing is getting justice back into your judicial process. And once that happens, then you can bring it back. It'll filter right through the entire political process, too, because, the duty of the common law grand jury is to fix and repair all wrongdoing, whether it be in the judicial or the political realms. And so it's the same thing for you guys. If you can get your courts back and bring justice back in the court, bring common law back, you now can start indicting people who are in your government that are acting outside of the common law. In other words, they're breaking the law in your government or any other place. You know, here in America, we have many police forces. Every town has their own police force. Every town is a corporation, so the police force really is a corporate police. Every city has their own police force, again, corporate police. Every state has the state police. again, corporate police working for a corporate government, a corporate state, controlled on the leaders. For instance, you have a commissioner, you have a superintendent for the state police, let's say. That person that runs the entire state police here in New York, the superintendent of the state police, that individual is appointed by the governor, so the governor actually controls that person and pulls their strings. And they train all these people, of course, to exercise and execute the statutes and that law. But every county, meanwhile, in throughout the United States, we have 3,142 counties, every county has a sheriff. Now, there's exceptions to some of these rules. Connecticut has 8 counties, and they got rid of their sheriffs. Alaska, I don't believe, ever had sheriffs. So they got quite a few counties up there that never had a sheriff. Here in New York, they've taken elected sheriffs away out of 7 counties. And there's a few other places here or there. But generally speaking, we have sheriffs for every county. Now, the sheriff is elected. He's elected by the people. He owes his allegiance to the people. Even though he's a political animal, he still owes his allegiance directly to the people. And so that's kind of a unique thing for us. And our sheriffs are starting to become aware that there is something wrong in our government. They realize the government's going beyond trying to take the guns away from people, for instance. And they realize that this is a problem. And so they're kind of primed for us. And so we are communicating. We send memorandums out to every sheriff every week. And we talk to them about the breaking news, what's going on. We talk to them about our authority. We tell them who we are, where we come from, how big we are. We're in every county in New York State. Whenever the judges that are in opposition to us have anything to say, which is pretty much nothing, but they've made a few statements, and we've dealt with every one of them. And so we're training and teaching our sheriffs here in New York, but not only the sheriffs, also all of the clerks, all of the court clerks, all of the county clerks, and the bailiffs, and also even the judges. We send memorandums to all of them. Send a memorandum once a week, we send it out to them. And so they're getting the truth, they're getting the law, they're seeing the Constitution, they're seeing the position, they're seeing the United States Supreme Court's rulings that have been supporting common law since the beginning. And so they're becoming enlightened, and, you know, we still have some that aren't too bright, and they say stupid things, but I think they're all talking at the water cooler. I think they're all talking at the coffee shop when they get together and have some coffee. I think there's a lot of, and we're encouraging that. We're trying to really encourage that with these people. And so the ones that aren't so bright or aren't paying attention, I think they're going to be influenced by those who are paying attention. And so we're kind of priming them, getting them ready, because something's going to happen here in New York soon. And we want to make sure that they're ready and they understand that they have a decision to make. Either they're going to obey the law or they're going to obey these criminals in power. And certainly they don't represent the people. The law represents the people. That's the Constitution. That's the Bill of Rights. That's the Magna Carta. That's the Declaration of Independence. That's the Holy Bible. And so I kind of hope that we can find some group of people that you guys can start communicating to and letting them know what you're doing. Even if it's just the constables, you know, even though the constables are not elected, right? I mean, those are just police officers. I guess they call the police officers constables. Is that what they do?
I think so, yeah, PCs. I think police constables, we just call them PC, or they call them the bill.
Well, in any event, we need to be communicating with the leaders at some point. Whoever, you know, would be the lead people of these forces, whatever they captains or whatever they may call them, I don't know. But once you start to establish your grand juries, then you want to start communicating with these people and prime them on what the real law is and what their oaths are all about. And, you know, look at one of the things we brought to the attention of the oath keepers or the oath takers in New York, particularly the sheriff, is, hey, sheriff, you lifted your hand up and you swore to protect and obey the Constitution, didn't you? Oh, yeah, we did, yeah. Well, why do you have to go see a lawyer to interpret it? Did you lie when you did that? How can you protect and when you got to go see an attorney, the county attorney, to figure out what the Second Amendment is all about, you know? So we're trying to wake them up to that realization, to realize, hey, wait a second, yeah, what are we doing here? We do need to know what this is. We need to take a stand, and it's got to be out of my mind, out of the mind of some attorney who's working for the bar, who is communist and working for the New World Order. So this is the kind of awakening you have to get your top police force individuals to come to realize. But we'll help you with
that. That would be great to have that material.
We'll help you with that. Yeah. That's why we got to get together and figure out what's different about you guys. Most of it is the same, and how you might do things different than we do, and that's just what's got to be figured out so we can post the proper information up on the website so when people come out to it, they'll get the proper information, and you're all acting together. So you have to be unified, whether you're on the far northern part of your country or the southern part. You have to be acting the same way and saying the same thing and be totally unified. And united we stand, and divided we shall fall.
Yeah, I that would be great. I mean, I have an email list that I could share with you to send some material, or if you send me the material, I can send it out to my list of MPs.
What we would do is, I'm going to work on this and set up a place on the website that's just for the UK. And you guys will have access to make changes and do things. You get some leaders and figure things out. And you would build up your leadership, and you'd build up your registrations, these people joining as members. And you need to communicate with these people. You need to organize. You need administrators. What you need is organizers, or I would say an organizers for every county. And then you need what we have is a coordinator. All of the UK, and they would coordinate making sure everybody in each county is communicating, okay, and just kind of bring those organizations together, and you become one, and you develop, you can use what we develop and how the process we choose grand juries and how we constitute them. You can copy the exact same thing we do and constitute grand juries, which we do it the honorable way, and we invite everyone in the county out, put press releases out so people can come and participate. And then pretty much most of the stuff on us you'll be able to use anyway as a general rule, but you'll have special things on your pages that would be under the UK. That would be just for you guys, like your constitution. You know, each state here in America has their own constitution. We also all share the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Now, you should look at that, because you'll find that's common law. You guys will agree with everything in the Bill of Rights particularly. But even the Declaration of Independence, we have government by the consent of the people is how that starts off. And then we have the Magna Carta, and we have the Bible, and you guys have the same documents too. So we have a lot in common. It's all common law. It's natural law.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed for your help, and I really look forward to everything coming together here in the UK. And hopefully, not too far behind the American movement.
Yeah. Well, thanks for talking with us, Nilu. And am I saying that right,
Thank
Nilu?
You. Nilu, yeah, that's right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you staying up so late with us and to talk with us. And we're looking forward to get some conferencing going and figure things out and see how we can work together. And maybe what we can try to do is get something, I know you got people, just this one guy I met already, Patrick, I mean, he's more than capable of doing a program once a week on a better time zone for you guys and recording it, and we'll be listening in on that too, as I'm sure you'll be listening in on ours. But one of the key things to growing and moving and keeping things going is we have a Monday night program every Monday. It's an important thing. It keeps us connected. It keeps us communicating. It keeps us informed. It teaches us and so on. So you guys need to do the same thing. We're going to help you set that up and to keep that going. and save your nation or your country, just like we need to save ours. So.
Thank you so much for your help. Thank you. It's
been
great for me talking to you.
Godspeed. Neil.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate
good
time.
Night. Oh. Night. Bye.
So you got like an hour and 5 minutes left. You got like eight people. So if everybody keeps it to about 5 minutes, you should be able to get through everybody.
Okay, we'll start with Jason. You're going to have to watch me on this. It's your job.
Yeah, okay.
Jason, go right ahead. But that was a very good call, and I wanted to give as much time as possible because I think this was very encouraging. Extremely encouraging. And I spoke with this guy, Patrick, who has a lot more to say, and you know, we're going to get him. Maybe we'll have an interview with him and then just play that interview here over our airways or something, unless he wants to stay up late one night and actually come in. Because, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning over there, 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's a big time difference. Jason, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. That was very enlightening to hear that we're going international. That was one of my thoughts. Sometime back, I don't know if you said it or I said it, I just think it really makes sense to unify our world against a new world order. I just also wanted to thank you for being there at the last of your 62 counties in Richmond, Richmond County, Staten Island last Thursday. It was very a pleasure meeting you, and also Paul and the rest of your people from New York State. I really enjoyed myself. I really got goosebumps and being there, because that was monumental, being there for that. I just want you to know, I also tried to send out a lot of links to as many like organizations that I have on my Facebook, and I came into an organization that was a Jewish group that was for guns, and it's amazing that people are still equating us with the sovereign citizens, and using the same craziness that the ADL is using. So it just upsets me that, you know, like people are still closed-minded.
Right, that's all they got, so.
Yeah, well, I just feel sorry for them that they just can't open up and do something about their minds. I mean, a mind is a terrible thing to have, especially when it's wasted.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a different way of saying it.
Yeah, and but I how many people do we have in the call today?
Well, we have 44 callers. We have 17 people in the other room, and I know earlier we had 60 or 70 people. Let me see what we have online right now. In our room, we have, let's see, we've dwindled down to 33. So, you know, once we start to get after 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11, people start to bail out.
There was over 50. There was like 57 callers on the line originally.
Yeah. What we need to do, though, is everybody needs to be, most of the people coming here are leaders. They're organizers, and we have state coordinators with us. It's their job to get out to the other organizers and state coordinators and tell them, hey, you need to get to these meetings. This Monday night meeting is extremely important. It keeps us active. It keeps us going. It gets us communicating. It brings us all up to par on where we're at and what we're doing. You know, the latest news, and to have an exciting phone call like we had here with someone from the UK, and the sharing of what's going on in, goodness, just think about this. I mean, in one day, all of a sudden, four countries want to come in and work with us to do the same thing, and they all have common law backgrounds. They're all common law countries. That's huge. That's huge. That's the hand of God, in my opinion, and as long as we keep doing things the right way, you know, being as godly as possible, being as obedient as possible, being as just as possible, then, you know, if you're on God's side, you know, who can be against us, you know, if he'd be for us? He'd be for us only if we're bending a knee to him. And so, you know, I read my Bible. I'm reading on David again right now, and it's just amazing how God has protected David, you know. I mean, goodness. And all of the great men of the Bible. I mean, they went up against the most difficult, insane odds you'd ever dream of, and yet God just delivers them constantly right around the hand of the evil, and they can't touch him. So that's what God does. That's his job. And if we're his children, he's gonna take care of us.
Yeah, true that. And I was talking with North Carolina and just giving them a good pep up. And one of the things that we don't need to talk about is the edification of our upline and our downline, our crossline people. We're all here to make our world better and to be inspiration to each other. Like John, you are. I listen to you and I see you. I'm inspired by you and Gerard. Again, I met you guys in October, and it's just I just am impressed how far we've gone, and we should be even going even faster what we're doing. So if anyone, again, I just quote you. There's no excuse except get out of your own way.
Yeah.
And I have no other questions, but the thing is that the thing with Lydia that brought up by Gerard, I mean, it's amazing. You are very right on target. They will try to distract us from our goals and objectives of taking back our courthouses and giving restitution to the people. And there's not enough money in this world to rectify all the wrongdoings. But the thing is, it's more important to recognize the wrongdoing, even if the person is not given a financial reward for the evil that was done. Just recognizing that the people of the time have recognized the evil that was done in the name of we the people. And with that, I'm gonna sign off, John. And put my phone on.
All right, thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. And just
sure.
Thank you. Just one word here, you know. Point is, look at they have nothing, and so the only thing they can do is use scare tactics. You know, forget about fear. We haven't got time for fear. Just ignore them and move on. And let's just keep putting the truth out there, because the truth will eventually take root and reveal on who they are and who we are. So, all right, let's go to the next caller. I'm going to move on to 406-223. Let me see if I can close you off. Okay, 406-223, you should be hearing me. You've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me all right, John?
We can hear you. Yep. Who's this?
Oh, great. Nice to make connections with you again. My first listening call was last week. I brought up almost all of the calls this year, listened to all of the back calls. This movement has taken all my time now. It's my entire focus to get the state of West Virginia constituted. And I'm wondering, again, just got a couple of questions, so I don't take a whole lot of time. Do you have any quick advice for us to be successful in constituting the entire state of West Virginia by the end of the month?
Yeah, I'd have to look. Let me take a quick look. How many counties do you have in
55.
West Virginia? 55?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let me just open up West Virginia. Hang on 1 minute. West Virginia. There we go. Okay. You have 55 counties. You only have 14 people right now, but that doesn't mean you can't grow quick. What we need is a good whip, and, you know, that's what coordinator is to do. I want to say California a couple of months ago only had a few people out there, and they are just cooking. You know, same thing with some other states. You know, a few people here and a few people there. And Washington, the state of Washington and the state of Oregon was like that. Just 2 months ago, there was like nobody there. And all of a sudden, we got a couple of people that got involved as the state coordinators, and they just took the bull by the horns. They got excited like you seem to have gotten, and we decided to make some phone calls and introducing people to what we're doing and getting people coming on board. And in no time, they started to pull some numbers together. So you could do the same thing. I would think the first order of business is to work with the counties you have. You know, you have Mercer County, Morgan County, Nichols County, and Ritchie County. There's no reason why in the next 10 days, you can't get all four of them elected. I don't know how close they are, but some of them... Huh?
Yeah, this weekend I'm going up to Morgan County. I'm working with the Oath Keepers group up there. I'm going to visit with them. And so we'll just keep you updated. I'm having a meeting on the 11th of March here in Princeton, hoping to just go ahead and finish up Mercer County and constitute Mercer County. If I can get a couple of the surrounding counties to come to that meeting, I will. Should we work at getting a seal for every county in advance, or is it okay to just wait and get the seals after the counties are constituted?
Yeah, you can get them as you move along. You can get them before, you can get them after, you can get them whenever. You know, it's difficult to buy all those seals up front, of course. You've got 50-some odd counties. But, you know, look, every person in every county, you know, one person should be able to work something out with a few other people and get the seal. It's only $50. You can't really file the paperwork until you have a seal. But look, at what we do have to do right now is we have to get all the common law, all the grand juries, we have to get them constituted. So that you have to do. You don't have to file the papers. Just get them constituted, get all the papers signed, get all the affidavits done that it was done, and just put it in a file. And you're boning up, you're learning, and you're organizing, and you're moving across the state. At some point, you're going to feel that, okay, we've got 20 counties, let's file now. And so whatever that number is, I don't know, what you guys have to figure that out. For us, it was like 16. But whatever that number is, you file. And then all the counties after that, they file. Now, we've had counties in New York that developed after us, and they decided not to file yet. And fine, that's okay. And we still have a lot of counties in New York that have not filed yet. But that's okay also. We are constituted, and we're organizing. And we're working. So that's the key thing, and eventually they'll all be filed. But we're coming down with the pressure on the state now. So, yeah, I would think in a month and a half, if you really, really buckled down and focused, and, you know, the way you're doing right now, you're spending a lot of time. Now you're going to be spending time organizing. I think it's going to grow quickly at that point. I remember when we were just like 5 or 10 people in a room, literally, and that wasn't too long ago, you know? So when we started to do these Monday night meetings, which I think we started getting this maybe a year and a half ago or so, we were doing it before we were doing the grand juries, maybe 2 years ago almost, and we only had a couple people, you know, and it is what it is. It doesn't matter. It's where it all starts.
Well, one thing I noticed on the website is that you talk about the Articles of Freedom. If anybody's ever heard me talk, or no matter whether it's Montana or being here in West Virginia, I always bring up the Articles of Freedom, because what the We the People organization did there was absolutely a phenomenal thing. And I know every representative that went out there from the state of Montana. I was in Montana at that time. You had Rick Tor, and you had Joel Bonnick, I believe, was out there. And, you know,
you should give them guys a call.
Freedom.
You should give them guys a call. Get them out.
I have. I'm communicating with my Montana friends as well, and they're moving along.
There you go.
Ahead of us. Yeah. So, anyway, I think we're with the Lord. I love the way you talk about the Bible and being true to God and, you know, to witnesses and keeping everything honest and true, and the purity there is just, it's unmatched. And as long as you keep that mindset, you know, I'm with you guys 100%.
Well, amen. You know, we got to realize it, and some people don't realize it, and they're with us anyway, but we got to realize it. This is God's law. This is natural law. The common law is natural law. And we're not going to be blessed with it, because he's the one that gives us our unalienable rights. We're not going to be blessed with that natural law, nor are we going to be blessed with our unalienable rights unless he's blessing us. If he's cursing us, trust me, we're going to fail. So we can't be phony about this thing. You know, however people understand God, that's good enough. That's good enough. Just come with a bent knee and appreciate the fact that only because of the grace of God do we have unalienable rights, and only because of the grace of God do we have natural law, and it can be achieved through pure logic and principles. That's the key to natural law or common law. It's pure logic and principles, and the principles are godly principles. Justice, synonymous with virtue. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And there it is. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. It's just doing the right thing, period. It's not a difficult thing.
Yep. I just say praise the Lord. God is good, John. Looking forward to hearing you again next week.
Amen.
And have a good report for you.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right,
we'll take our next
Bye-bye.
Caller here. You too, thank you. We'll take our next caller. This is an unlisted number, so we have no numbers, but you should be hearing. You've been unmuted.
Yes, John, it's me.
Hey, how you doing?
Irina. I just wanted to let you know that we got with John some training with making movies, you know. You don't have a studio or nothing, but just to keep it in mind if it will be ever handy. We have
okay,
that.
Yeah, what you should talk to is Lydia out there because she does this, and we also in Manhattan we've got Joe and that's why I can't think of her name, Gerard. Anyway, they're in Manhattan. You guys should connect and talk with these people because they're doing things, you know?
Okay. Okay. And one thing I
Paula,
wanted to ask
that's
you.
It. Joe and Paula is what I was thinking of. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. What about with that Linux and Wine? Is it goes also wireless internet? Because
does it what?
Is with that Linux system and Wine on the computer that you were talking about, if wireless internet goes, you can protect
it? Well, what you know, you see what they're setting up the internet so that they don't have to shut it down because they're having so many problems. So what they're going to do is shut us down one computer at a time. I have heard, this sounds crazy. I heard that they hired like a million people, but I don't think the number's that high. Maybe hundreds of thousands of people or something, in order to get out there and at some point they're going to turn computers into bricks. And then this way they'll have to shut things down. They're just going to shut people down. And they know who they need to shut down. And believe me, we're all on that list. So we better do something to prevent that from happening. So if we do the Linux thing, and we're going to get more discussion this later. But if we do the Linux thing, remember, if you're still coming on Windows, you operate on Windows, you're communicating on Windows, but they don't see you as operating in Windows. They don't even see it all because you're on a Linux program.
No, I was talking, I understood that part, but I was talking about different things. For example, it's good that you're offering telephone services, but in our area, to get internet, either cable, either Verizon, there is no other way, or it's wireless, those wireless companies.
Right.
So which one, maybe set it up that they're centralized that everybody can get this sort of internet. If it's possible,
well, if you lose your access, you lose your access, and you're not going to get in at all. But that's why we'll be talking very soon about the shortwave. But we've already looked into it. We just, you know, we haven't been able to put the time into the plan. I got to find the time, and we got to sit down. We got to figure a plan and find the good products and a good price and put it out there for everybody to have. So we're all on the same point, and we all learn together. And we develop a communication system from state to state on the short wave, and then each of the counties can be communicating within their state with the handheld units or small base units, and we can communicate around the whole nation. And now, of course, we're looking at other countries too. So, you know, we'll be communicating with them. We cannot lose communications. It's extremely important that we have communications and continue no matter what happens. And we can also have our sheriffs being able to communicate with each other through the shortwave systems, which we have on emergency systems anyway, but we can also assist there. So that's a plan we're going to put together. But internet hopefully will keep up as long as we can.
Mm-hmm. But shortwave is what? Is it sort of wireless something? Wireless?
Yeah, shortwave is wireless. Gerard, do you want to talk a minute or two on shortwave?
Yeah, shortwave is a public citizens band, they call it. And like during 9/11, that's the only thing that worked. All the cell phones went down and everything. So shortwave you supply your own power. They're able to run on batteries, and they have their own antennas. They also have a system of repeaters that go around the country. There's just tons and tons of stuff that's good with shortwaves. In my county here recently, they decided to put a shortwave radio in all the communication centers and all the fire departments, which is a great idea because, you know, when anything goes down, people will be able to know what kind of police actions are going on because it won't be a hidden station. It'll be a public radio station, you know, so you'll know exactly what's going on. And there was many examples of the shortwave radio saving the day in the Russian era. You know, we had that one guy, Yuri. He drove him crazy for 6 months with a mobile radio. He has some pretty good stories about, you know, how they – because communications are very important. You know, when you're under siege and you have a tyrannous government, if you don't have communications, you don't survive very long. You know, you got to know where they are, and you got to know what's going on, and you got to know where your resources are. And that's all under communications now. Everything we have today is very traceable. It's very, you know, everything runs on a computer, and they have a handle on that. The shortwave radio, you can pick your frequencies. It moves. Very hard to jam. I mean, they can jam. I think you're going to jam one signal at a time. And you can keep changing your frequency, and you and your and whoever you're talking to can have a code to go on a different channel. It's virtually impossible to control. So it's a very free form of communications, and it's simple. You take a test, you study, you take a test, and you get your first license, which allows you to talk on so many frequencies, you know. And the higher you go, the more frequencies you're allowed to talk on. And you also are able to use less power when there's less people on those frequencies. So we got guys that, you know, they talk around the world. They know how to bounce off the ionosphere and stuff, but they're only using 3 watts. So it doesn't take a big, powerful radio to talk around the world if you know what you're doing and you know about the antennas and all that stuff. But it's something that we even make portable ones, and you can have one in your truck that acts like a repeater, so you can park your truck in a parking lot, let's say, and you're walking around with your portable, which hits to your truck, and the truck has a bigger radio with the amplifier in it, and that's what goes to the tower. So that's a good system, and it's not that expensive to do. I mean, you know, with the system I'm talking about with the truck radio acting as a repeater and a portable, you can do all of that for under $1,000. You know, I mean, you could pick up your first radio for a couple of $100. Or even 100 and a half, depending on what you want. But the one with the truck is nice because you can put an automatic car starter in that when it senses the battery getting low, it starts the car up and runs it for 20 minutes. So now you got this little repeater system running out of your truck that the battery's never going to go dead as long as there's gas in the truck. So there's lots and lots of things that you can do. And you can always have communications, and you can have handheld local communications, and that's very important. So they also have a book out there that says Now You're Talking, it's called, and it's about ham radio and shortwave radio. People should read up on it. And there's also a test online, a practice test. If you keep taking that test, you'll learn how to pass the test. Just taking the test itself is educational. You'll learn some terms and things like that. When I got my license, I took a course at a college. And it was like an 8-week course, which is, you know, that's unusual. That's a pretty intensive one. But I wanted to get all the nitty-gritty,
right,
and that's what I did.
I'm going to have to put it to you here, Gerard. We're running out of time, so we got to move on.
Okay. So anyway, that's ham radio, and we recommend it, and you can look into it yourself.
By the way, did you get my paper I wrote?
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We can't talk about it now, but we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
Give me a call around 10-11. All right?
Thank you so much, Bud.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, 602-993, you're being unmuted. 602-993. Hello. 602-993.
There we go. I pressed the wrong button. Can you hear me now?
I almost hit the end here for you, but go ahead. You got it.
No, I'm sorry.
What's your first name and
the
state?
Wrong button. It's Mariana from Arizona. I'm with Charlie.
Oh, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. I got a few things I want to say. I want to make two recommendations to everybody. One is a book, and one is a legal article that I've found. They've made so many things so clear to me, and I think there's probably many others who would really benefit from reading them. And you're probably familiar with both of these, and you may even have them on the site, and I didn't realize it. But one is the book Good to Be King.
Yeah, that's by Bednarik.
Yes,
Michael
Bednarik.
Yep.
Bednarik.
Right.
And,
yeah, we don't have his book up because he's still in print, and I do have a copy of that book, and I did read it. But Ted.
Right. Well, it blew my mind. It made it clear to me how, and I can hardly believe that this is really true, but it is. One of the first things I think the progressives went after was the judicial system, and it took them from the late 1800s till 1946 to get it done. But what they did was what they do to everything. They redefined the common law as somehow harsh and unfair and also inefficient and costly of time in the proceedings.
Right,
and then
right.
They created ultimately the federal rules of civil procedure, and they got somebody to vote on something and make that the rule of the day. And they just basically bypassed the common law, and that was how they did it. They took over the judicial system. And I was born in that year, so I have to realize that my entire life has been lived under a progressive style of a judicial system.
Right.
So I've never been free. And then the second thing,
before you go to the second one, just so everybody knows, if you go to our judicial tab and you click on our Constitution class, you will find Michael Bednarik there, gives our constitutional class. Goodness, we must be 12, 14, 15, maybe 16 hours of class there. So, right there on
I've been too busy to do that.
Okay, well, when you get a chance, it's all in video. It's good.
I'm embarrassed. I'm really ashamed, but there you have it.
Go on to the second now.
The second one is I found a legal article that covers this, and the title blows your mind, just the title alone. The title is How Equity, meaning equity law, conquered common law. And the subtitle is The Federal Rules of Civil Procedure in Historical Perspective. And I'm going to be writing something up. I've been taking notes. I'm going to be writing something up, and I hope you'll, you know, feel like posting it or passing it on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you write a good paper on something and you do your homework and you really do, you got to focus in and give us facts and hopefully some footnotes so we have authorities, and you give it to us, we'll post it up on our Jurist Documents tab for people to become educated, sure.
The other thing is we were all thrown quite a bit by that ADL press release, and, you know, it kind of makes you afraid at first. You feel like there's a light down on top of you. But you know what? What I've realized from these materials, that we have an absolutely solid base beneath us. It can't be taken away, and as long as we remember that and avoid allowing anyone to think they have authority over that. No one has the authority over the Constitution.
Exactly. Just go back and read all the documents we have on our news page, because we debunk everything they say. We show foundation structure. You just can't ignore it. It's just all there. So, yeah. Ben.
My last thing, there were four, not three. I've wondered, and I don't know if I have even a right to say this, because God knows you've got a lot more experience with all this than we do, but I'm a writer. And I know if I got those memoranda as a sheriff, as a clerk, as a bailiff, I'd be a little pissed, maybe. And I was wondering if there's any way we could be softened and send a message that we want to work with them. I wasn't getting that message from those when I read them.
Did you read all four of them?
No, I actually only read two of them so far.
Okay, well, go back to the beginning. It's really an education. We try to be as gentle as we can and humble as we can, but we got to be, you know, honest and forthright. And it's hard stuff to chew, but it's got to be what it's got to be. But I'll go back and I'll look. And, you know, look, at when I first responded to this letter that this sheriff sent back to us, at first I responded harsh. And, you know, of course I didn't send it out to them, just then I got everything out of me, you know what I mean? And then I said, wait a second, I got to be humble. So I didn't go back to be as humble as possible. I mean, this guy was very rude and arrogant, okay? But we tried to be nice to the guy, we tried to befriend him, and we tried to encourage him to join us, really, you know, hey, you know, we're out here trying to empower you guys. You need to understand what your power and authority is. And sometimes it's not an easy way to say it. So, but we'll try to be a little more humble and a little more nicer if we can.
We're helpful.
We are trying to befriend them.
These people must go nuts with all of the proceedings they have to take care of. We sat in court one day, Charlie and I, and we couldn't believe what an atmosphere that must be to work in. So maybe we should talk to them about how their lives might change when the grand jury was in force. Because I see the grand jury is cleaning up a lot of this baloney that goes on. The baloney is somehow coming from the system we're working under.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense that I've expressed that
well? Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got to get a communication going.
I mean, it was deadly.
Being
in that court was just deadly, and I don't know how they can stand working there. Maybe they have to be able to have a vision of what it would be like after the common law court was able to operate for a while.
Well, do you know where the word baloney came from?
No.
Yeah, lawyers are full of baloney, and that came from, that phrase came from, and then they, I guess, baloney came, I don't know whether baloney came first or before the name or after, but there was a University of Bologna in Bologna. That's
right.
God punished
you. Bologna, Italy, that's where it came from.
And that's where the attorneys really started their first university right there. That was coming out from the enemy. And I don't know if baloney came out before that or after that, but, you know, we know all lawyers are full of baloney. So.
Yeah, they are. Well, thank you for what you're doing. I'm more than enthusiastic. I'm totally focused on this because, and especially now when I see you predicted this week that we'll probably have a third of the country by the end of March, and that's huge. And I think that will give us even more momentum.
Absolutely.
Oh,
look at New York's there.
Sorry.
I mean, we're ready to do big things in New York.
Yeah, and you know what hit me? This ADL thing. We don't have to be afraid if we have every county because there's safety in numbers. They can't
That's
go
right.
after everybody.
Yes, exactly. That's why we've got to push. And, yeah, absolutely. That's why only the people can save America, because they have to go out and kill all the people. I believe they do intend on doing that, but they're not ready to do that, and they can't do it now, so we can take them down.
I think so, John, and forgive me if I took too long, and thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll take our next caller here. 704-215, you've been unmuted.
Hey, this John, we just love you. This is Eve from Gaston and my husband, Bob.
Well, we
used to have a TV show in Charlotte, and they changed the structure. It was public access, but from what I understand now, it seems like the city, of course, the corporate corporation, took over the public access, and it has become something you can't do anymore. People now have to go down and get a special box in order to pick up the station. It no longer shows up on your regular dial stations anymore. And at one time they had put it at like the high, you mentioned about the high numbers. They put it up on 99 on the dial, which a lot of people don't go up that way. So if you get a viewership, then all of a sudden your viewership died off because they had taken whoever did it down in the city, they took that off and made it where it used to be owned by Time Warner. They took it off from being public on the public stations, and that the people will have to go down to Time Warner and specifically ask for a box. How many people would know to do that? No one. So that's a problem. My suggestion for anyone, because this is probably happening in a lot of cities, my suggestion to everyone is if you've got a YouTube channel or you don't, create one. Create a YouTube channel. The more people that can do a decent, and maybe we'll get the videos from you, John. Y'all do some great stuff. Whatever it takes, the more that it's put out there in front of people at the Internet, YouTube is a good way to do it. And have your keywords are the most important things of how to attract people to your channel. I have a channel out there myself, but it's not affiliated with, it's very spiritual. So, but I mean, this would work. I think maybe I could do that. I've got a lot of views and stuff on there. I think I'm going to have it where it's LinkedIn. I am going to go out there and create a channel and create a little TV show. The TV show that we used to have, we started off with a music show and it was okay. Then Time Warner, had us put off the air because we went radical. We started exposing the chemtrails. We started exposing FEMA camps, and that's when we lost the show about the FEMA camps. So, and then about the executive orders and all that kind of stuff, Agenda 21. So all of a sudden our show got, you know, taken off the air, and we weren't even getting paid for it. It was a public access free thing, and we were producers doing all this. So the people that they got, that they hired to be operating the station, are not working in the interest of the people. They're not working in the interest of the producer who is bringing them the money to have their jobs. So, but you did one thing before I finish. I don't want to take too much time. Another thing is you do need, I would love for you to interview Kevin Annette on this show. I mean, we do need international presence. I think when the world comes together, the New World Order is going to, they're flopping. They're going to flop big time.
How do you spell Annette? Do you know?
A-N-N-E-T-T.
Okay.
I'll send you a link, John.
I'll find him. I know he's out there, but we may be talking with him soon, hopefully, in conference, and some of these people hopefully will come on to our program. We'll see what
to get you on some more radio shows. By the way, I want to tell everyone, if they haven't heard, I was the one that got you on to the events, Talk with Vince show in Las Vegas.
Right.
He did a great job. He did his due diligence and studying, and I think it was a super, super interview, and we corresponded back and forth, and he thanked me very much for letting him know about you and that it was a great show. So we're sharing that. We've also put it on the North Carolina site. And I just would encourage everyone to go out there and listen to that interview and all of the interviews that you do. They're outstanding. They really are. So I want to thank you.
The message is great. I mean, you can't, if you give the real message, you can't beat it. It's great.
So, absolutely. But, keep up the good work. We love you.
We do have most of the interviews that we've done. We do have them up on the website. If you go to, I think, where is it? Yeah, radio. If you go to our welcome page and you click on radio interviews, you'll be able to hear a lot of our interviews. And our TV interviews and stuff, you'll find that on breaking news.
Even that, if someone would take some of these radio shows that you've been on, and they could take their YouTube thing, do it, get a little editor, and all you have to do is put something up with the Constitution on it, and then have the audio on there. And, of course, there is some kind of dialogue you have to put on there that it's free for them to use that because it's education. And this is one way. If everybody keeps putting it out there, I'm telling you, the word is going to spread. I talked to a few people today and told them about the website. They got excited. So people are coming on a lot easier now than before. Before they were like in a stupor, and now people are starting to wake up.
Right.
So,
well, when you make
you
the point that we're in all 50 states, that's very helpful. So that is huge. So.
Absolutely.
All right, we need to move
thank
on
you.
Because we haven't gotten much time. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, next phone call here, it says unknown. So we don't know who you are, but you should be hearing. You've been unmuted. Hello? Unknown. You've been unmuted. So I guess you don't, we don't know your phone number. Unlisted number. 212-5751. You got the mic.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, John. This
doing?
Is Pat. I'm the Connecticut State Organizer.
Yes. Yeah, we're heading out to Connecticut.
Hi. I wanted to, first of all, I want to make sure that we know what we can do to help you tomorrow because we're all coming. We're really thrilled to be coming.
Great. Well, we're going to do a 45-minute presentation, and the rest of it will be an open forum, and we'll see how many people we can pull into it. And the following week, we're going to go out into the center of the state and do all eight counties, even if we have to do two stops. But we're going to pull all eight counties together and get Connecticut done. And once Connecticut's done and once New York gets into the seated, we're going to come and we're going to push Connecticut.
Okay. That's fine. But at the meeting tomorrow, you just want us to be present. You don't want us to do any particular thing for you.
Nothing particular. I mean, you can ask some good questions. You can talk to people. And let's get them involved. Let's get them going and joining up, you know.
Okay. Now, let me just ask you a favor. I know how busy you are, but the list of state organizers, you don't have Connecticut there. You asked me to sign up again. And I did with, new information.
Oh, yes. You got to give me the email that you sent me was not the email you listed in. I couldn't find you. You have to send me your email that you used to sign up on that one, and with that I can find you and put you in.
Okay. Do you want me to give it to you over the phone right now, or do you want me to just send it to you?
Well, either way. Whatever you want to do.
Right. It's similar to the one that you have. It's pat.sachs2@gmail.com.
Okay, I got pat.sach.
S-A-C-H-S.
S-A-C-H-S-2.
Yeah.
@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. I'll post you up there tonight or tomorrow morning.
Okay. I appreciate it because otherwise we're getting a huge increase in, the number of people signing up, and I can't access the list. So
right.
We don't
I will get it done for you. I will get it done.
I really appreciate it.
If I could do it tonight, I will. But if not, tomorrow
okay.
morning.
Now, just a couple of other small questions. We have one member listed named Ben. But the number he listed is somehow affiliated with a bank. It doesn't go to him. It's like a line that's not monitored. It plays a recording of the weather and other information. If you have an address
we'll
for this fellow Ben,
we'll
could you write yes if he really wants to be involved or if we should just delete him or what?
No, I know Ben. Ben had a problem and... I probably shouldn't discuss it, but, it's the same old thing with the court, so I'll fix it.
Okay. All right, but if he does want to be involved, it's okay, just that we can't reach him. We don't have any way of reaching him.
Well, no one can reach him right now.
Oh, I see. I understand. Okay, then we won't worry about it. We'll just leave him listed there, and whenever he's ready to reconnect with us, we'll do that.
I'll go in, and I'll move him off of the leadership so that he falls inside and doesn't stay on the outside. Okay.
Okay, but keep him in the group because
absolutely.
If he's interested and he wants to come back, I'm sure we'd welcome him later
on. I'll just take him off of the leadership role as the county leadership so people don't get confused. But he'll still be in the membership. And when he gets things going where he needs to get going, then he can always just push the button and come back in. So.
Okay, that'll be great. Now, you may or may not have heard that on April 5th, the state of Connecticut is threatening to grab everybody's guns effective April 4th. On April 5th, which is a Saturday, thousands of people from all over the United States are convening there to protest this event. How can we participate?
Well, that's why we need to get the grand jury together this month in Connecticut to get it done with. and hopefully we'll be further along in New York, and depending on where we're at, we'll see how we can help you.
Okay. You know, if this draconian thing passes in Connecticut, a lot of other states are going to topple after it because they'll have precedent, so we need to stop it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, you know, because you know what they're doing. It's extreme. I mean, they're making unbelievable,
yeah.
I mean, almost...
Yeah, they're trying to do it here in New York. They've been talking about it for a while.
I know, but here they're...
The superintendent, the police superintendent.
...and grab their guns, and, I mean, it's, you know, it's like a step further in terms of intrusiveness.
Well, in New York, they're moving the control of the... the gun permit from the sheriffs over to the state police. And the appointed superintendent of state police, appointed by the governor, said that if he gets a, he said this in a press conference, he said if the governor asked him to go out and confiscate guns across New York, he would do it. So
well,
we got a problem
in
New York. New York is not going to give up their guns.
Of course. Well, Connecticut isn't either. But you see, Connecticut doesn't even have sheriffs anymore. They
I know.
The sheriff.
We need to deal with that. And we're going to look into that for you and work with you. We're going to help you.
Okay. All right. So I will definitely see you tomorrow. And if you could get that, remember to get that list.
Yes,
you know, the state.
I will.
Okay. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you and your presentation tomorrow.
Okay, Pat. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Hey. 530-598. 530-598. You've been unmuted. Well, trying to unmute you. Try it again. There you go.
Hey, Tom.
598. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, this is Kelly from the great state of Jefferson, a.k.a. Northern California.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I want to give some encouragement, if I may. There was San Francisco Chronicle came out on Friday addressing six police officers within San Francisco City. Police officers were indicted by a grand jury. So every now and then I see these articles and I keep them because it's happening here and there. So anyway, that's some encouragement. I was wishing the lady from Great Britain was still on because I've done quite a bit of study on the Magna Carta and the history before and after, and this is absolutely stunning. Of course, you know, we got Clause 61, Grand Group 25, or the grand jury. But what's fascinating is the history before and after the Magna Carta. You know, King John assumed the throne from his brother Richard the Lionheart, who died in 1199. And Bad King John, if this remembers him, even the Brits will call him Bad King John. He was overtaxing people, losing wars, and other bad behavior. And so the barons of the north invaded south. They were furious. Of course, this was in 1215. It was called the Barons' Revolt. And when they came to London, legend has it that some of the gatekeepers said, "Yeah, you're tired of them? We are too. Come on in." So King John had to flee for his life south of town, and in a field, Runnymede, which is Anglo-Saxon for regular beating at the meadow. They had already prepared this document, by the way. And so they said to the king, "Hey, look, here's the deal. We'll give you the throne back. You sign the Magna Carta, acknowledging the rights of every person here. That's the deal." And legend has it, he only signed it at sword point. He actually sealed it. He didn't sign it. And so he got his kingdom back. And this was the first time in modern history when the law was placed above the king, which is like our Constitution. And so King John didn't like that idea of having accountability through the Grand Group of 25, so he went to the Pope. And the Pope said, okay, annulled. You're good. And Archbishop Langton, who was a cardinal, got excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And so King John started going around and causing trouble, and the barons revolted again, a second civil war to enforce the Magna Carta. Fortunately, that King John died of dysentery. Now, a document written by Wenham Dodd, a history professor, medieval history professor at Nottingham University, wrote about the grand jury briefly, but it's a document called The Birth of Parliament. You can Google it, Birth of Parliament, Glenham Dodd. And he had some really interesting things to say. He said that the barons of England, I'm pulling this up right here, by the way, in the Magna Carta, there was no elected legislature. There was no parliament or members of parliament that were elected by the people. And so for 80 years, as late as 1311, the barons had regarded themselves as the defenders of the community of the realm. In political discussion or confrontation with the king. So there was no elected legislature, no elected parliament. The barons are saying, king, you're out of line. Hey, you're out of line. Hey, you know what? Your minions, the sheriff of Nottingham, he's out of line. And so the barons were doing the job of keeping things under control. But what the king had to do is he realized, you know, the last king attacked too much, got thrown out of town. But I figure out a way to get taxes from people. And so he called in a parliament, which were advisors. These were the new kings, successive kings. They were advisors. They were not elected. And pretty soon the people were saying, hey, no taxation without representation. The king says, all right, you guys go and elect the people who are going to vote to tax you. And so what the king did was he flanked the grand jury system with the elected legislatures. And Glenham Dodd said this, parliament came about for the purpose of taxing the people. And of course, you know where that has led to now, is that, well, for me, I won't tax you as much as the guy next to me. Same thing in the 1300s, 1215 Magna Carta. 1300s, you had all these elected parliamentarians. They didn't have a speaker of parliament until, like, 1370. So this is stunning when a person realizes, oh, my gosh, the grand jury was so powerful, the king had to go around it to start collecting taxes. And once you have the taxes, you have the power of the purse, you have the Federal Reserve printing money out of thin air, and you have all this oppressive mess that we have. And those in the legislature will want to pass the Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure of 1946 and take away accountability. And they will block petitions left and right. I call them the gatekeepers, prosecutors, or judges. So it's a very powerful thing, the grand jury, and the powers that be are afraid of it. And that's just kind of a quick review of history and what it has done. And by the way, most nations rise and fall. Great Britain has lasted 900 years, I believe, a large part of because of the grand jury and the system they set up through the Magna Carta.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks for that. And I got to be moving on because we've got quite a few more calls. Only got a few minutes, but I appreciate that. Yeah, I read a book called Common Law by Brent Winters, and he was actually an attorney, but he got into the common law, and what he discovered and wrote. Obviously, he's not an attorney no more, but he really went back into the history of the beginnings of this and how this thing started and what the principles and the ideas behind the king was and that the free men always had charge of the king at all times. The king would always do the will of the free men because that was his job. Of course, it had to be just, though, because the whole principles was built on biblical principles.
Well, what's the name of the book?
Common Law by Brent Winters. If you go up into our book page, you'll find a link there. It's one of the very few books that I got up there that you have to buy. I'm not selling it. You know, it takes you to a link on the internet somewhere to buy it. And you can maybe search around to find better prices. I don't know. But it's a well worth while book to read. Very good book. And, you know, when you read these pages, when you read this guy's full of footnotes. I mean, he backs up everything. Half the page is footnotes. And the other half is writing, you know, that's telling the story as it goes on. So it's really a very well-documented book. So, but with that, we got to move on. It's late.
All right.
Thanks. Okay, next caller, 516-445. You should be hearing you've been unmuted.
John, it's Lydia Raiden from New York.
How
I'm
you doing,
Manhattan.
Lydia?
How are you?
Listen, good, and yourself?
I'm good, and I was shocked. First of all, I loved your call from the UK, but what I was really shocked to hear that they don't have public access. So here's what I'm prepared to do. I stream live on the Internet, and I've been thinking about this with Jason for a while. I would be very happy to donate airtime like once every 6 weeks. I have 6 call-in lines, but I can also lock in 3 callers. So if the UK wants an hour for free and I stream live on the internet, they can set up a forum once every 6 weeks. I could set up a forum once every 6 weeks for Canada, Ireland, and Australia. So once every 6 weeks, they can put up a forum, and I'm streaming live on the internet, and anybody can call me. So I'm prepared to do that if you guys want. I'll talk to you about this more offline. I'm really surprised that there's no. Listen, 911 first responders asked me to donate time, so I can do this once every 6 weeks, once every 8 weeks. I think like every 6 to 8 weeks is good because, you know, you're keeping continuity, but there's not enough that there may not be enough that happens every week. But, you know, every 6 to 8 weeks, I think, is a good period where, you know, you can keep in touch. So I'm prepared to do that. I'll discuss this with you offline. But the good part about this is I'm streaming live, and I can have live chat, and I can have, people calling in and lock them in so you have a forum, or I can have up to six call-in lines where people can ask questions and get them answered. So this would be in addition to what you're doing so we can promote your weekly blog talk, and then you've got, you know, real people on real TV with real pictures, you know, every couple months. So, you know, you can do that too if you want, or not, or I can just show to your website if you want to, keep incognito. So that I can do. I'll talk to you more offline. I was surprised to hear in North Carolina that they shut down public access with Time Warner. YouTube is not as wonderful as you think they are. They control content, and I'm having a fight with them right now because they removed some of my videos, and the people who had them removed were attorneys that I tape recorded the conversations in New York, and another guy who threatened me. You're allowed to tape record your conversations in New York. It's a one-party state. I tape recorded a guy threatening me, put it up on the internet, and he claimed I was violating his right to privacy. He has no right to privacy in a telephone conversation where I'm a party. I'm allowed to do that. So I'm having a fight with Google now. They had no right to remove my content. So you got to be careful with content. And I also videotaped an audio-taped attorney split lot. Yeah, you got to be careful with them. But they're going to lose their fight against me. So, but public access TV, Google actually might be setting up a studio in Manhattan, so we don't want to alienate them too much. I'm having a discussion with them where they got to put my content back up, and they can't violate my, you know, there was no right to privacy with these people, and they can't violate my free speech. I'm surprised that Time Warner Cable shut down public access. But what the folks in North Carolina should have done, because that's what we're doing here in New York, they should have done a class action suit, and they would have won. The other issue I want to bring up really quickly is I don't have a problem with what the Anti-Defamation League did, because one of the things that they said to you was that they're against bigotry of all kinds. Well, this certainly opened the door for me, because you know I'm going to be calling this guy at the Anti-Defamation League and saying, listen, as long as you're against bigotry, I got a big case for you where I was discriminated against by an Orthodox Jewish school. Will you think to do something about them? And let's see how the ADL reacts. If they're actually going to be against bigotry of all kinds, then they should be championing my cause, because my school was found to discriminate on the basis of religion against those who are not Orthodox Jews. And they discriminated against a conservative Jewish woman and destroyed her career because she wasn't Orthodox enough. So I think this is wonderful. I think this is a wonderful open door for me to go talk to the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. I'm going to be very sweet and nice and humble, uncharacteristically, and, you know, I'm not going to be like an attack dog. I'm just going to be, well, you know, if you're really against this and you are based in New York and I've got a large Jewish organization that has been found to discriminate on the basis of religion and, what kinds of things can you do about it? They didn't have their tax exemption revoked. They didn't have all the things that should have happened when they were found to discriminate on the basis of religion didn't happen. So how do you address this in your community? They'll die a thousand deaths because they won't know what to do. But I look forward to speaking to the ADL. So,
we know how that conversation is going to go, though. They're not going to help you. So.
Well, I'm going to be audio taping and videotaping, but I look forward to pointing out their hypocrisy. So let's see what they have to say.
I got three more callers left, so we'll make it a little quick. We're running short on time, so.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, we'll talk later. After I have the conference with these people, we'll see how we can work these ideas in with them.
I donate airtime. You should take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
So, go ahead. Go talk. Go talk.
All right. Thank you. Okay, let's take one of our last callers here. We got three more callers. We'll see how many we can get in. 401-783. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hey, John. Steve from Rhode Island. How are you?
How you doing, Steve from Rhode Island? We're going to head out to you guys soon.
Oh, I can't wait to see you. I got a number of things. I'll be as quickly as possible. I know you covered a lot of great stuff. Great to see the other countries catching on. I knew it was going to happen in my heart, dude. Did you get my message the other day? I called you. I bought
International
Liberty Alliance. I bought it. I bought InternationalLibertyAlliance.org, and I'm going to give it to you for free. I bought it.
All right, well, we'll talk about
there's your thing for your guys internationally, if you want it.
All right. Well, if you leave a message on my machine, I don't get it. I just don't. As a matter of fact, I say, don't leave a message because I can't reach out calls.
Oh,
I mean, if
okay.
I when I walk right. away from my computer and I come back to 45 calls or something like that, or 20 calls,
right.
I just can't turn them. Yeah.
Okay, John. Well, John, you look at me. I'm Steve from Rhode Island. Just give me a call,
yes.
And I can send you that. I can give you. I will transfer the ownership to your organization.
Well,
looking ahead. I had a feeling this was going to happen.
Well, let's try to talk towards the end of this week because I want to make a trip to Rhode Island, and your state's a little small, and you don't have that many counties, and we can do something very quick in Rhode Island. And
That'd be wonderful. Now, I there's a few other things. I don't want to get off course. That mission. I'm so looking forward to meeting you and everybody else. We did recruit one more guy, Newport County. So now we have.
Okay.
We're moving up slowly.
As a matter of fact, I was thinking Providence might be the perfect place to really hold the elections for all the counties. How many counties you got?
The history, my friend. I know the history of the state is incredible. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm friends with the old Wampanoag, Narragansett, and Indians, too, and I know Roger Williams, the whole nine yards. Oh, my gosh. We have a hell of a history. It's cool about England and all those guys. I have a history back there, too, sir.
Absolutely.
I hate to say it, but I think I'm related to some of these people. I might have been related to this guy that absconded that guy, the Magna Carta. We come from that. That's part of my family history. And have you ever heard of the Flight of the Earls, the Irish Earls? We were kicked out of the country specifically for opposing the same jerks that are attacking us. Check it out. The Flight of the Earls. End of the Gaelic era, 2,500 years. It was us and the O'Neills. Oh, my gosh, that's all I can say. But, man, time has a way of healing wounds, man. We're back.
I hear you. Well, I hate to push you, but I only got three more minutes, and I'd like to get these other two people in, and let's talk during the week.
Cool.
Give me a call.
That's cool. All right. Other than that, hey, great. Oh, about your Internet stuff. I'm a computer security guy. That's what I do for a job.
Huh?
You can, as far as communications, you're right on target. There's a way for us to do a Wi-Fi mesh network amongst all the houses, and if we just keep our power up with solar.
All right, let's talk during the week because we're going to run out of the clock here, and I don't want to lose this.
Thursday or Friday.
I have
communications. I just bought a ham radio, 5-watt one, very cheap, $50. I got a lot of ideas for you.
Call me Thursday or Friday in the evening, probably 9 o'clock or something like that is good, and we'll pull a few people in. We'll talk about these things, okay?
Sure. I got plenty of resources for you. I'm totally into this. Oh, one last thing. These guys are trying to subvert me or whatever. They're trying to make you join their organization, and they seem okay. They seem like great guys, and there's a few sheriffs among them and everything, but I don't know, I'm with you guys, and they're trying to interfere with our organization here up here in Rhode Island. They're calling myself and Jackie and other folks, and they're trying to, hook us into their organization. I just told them the opposite. I'm like, hey, why don't you guys check us out and, bring what you've done with us. So I think you've got the momentum, John. So.
No, I think, it's moving. So 90 seconds left. There you go.
That's it. I'll see you soon.
Right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. 631, that's Long Island, I think. You got about 30 seconds if you want to share something. 631-728. Is that you, Harold?
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. I know Kevin Arnett, and
okay.
I have his link. He's a very fine man, and he's organizing grand juries in Long Island also. And I know
great.
Some of the people that, can you hear me?
I can hear you. We're going to run out of time. Can you give me a call during the week? Call me tomorrow or something on the phone. 845-233-6560.
Wait
all right,
a minute.
Give me a call. 845-233-6560, and we're about to lose the connection here.
Okay.
60.
I'll link you up with him. You know, you
okay.
guys need to get together.
Okay,
thank you. Okay.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our program. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we'll be back next Monday, Lord willing. God bless all, and let's do what we got to do. Let me see. I think we only got a few seconds left. Oh, we got 24 seconds, so. Well, maybe we don't. So. All right, well, I guess I didn't hear what the last time was. They usually count down 30 seconds, 15 seconds. I thought it was the last 10 seconds. But, all right.
Many blessings to you, John.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Many blessings to you.
Oh, thank you. Godspeed to you, too.
Light and love.
Thank you. You, too.
Bye-bye.
All right,
talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Good night.
All right.
God bless all. We'll talk tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and let's get back together next Monday, bring others with you. Good night.